StartAid is made possible through funding by the undergraduate students of the State University at Stony Brook. It can be heard every night at midnight and every afternoon at 5:58 on WUSB, Stony Brook.
StartAid, May 23rd. When NASA's Apollo astronauts went to the moon, they came back minus some instruments. These instruments were left behind to study lunar phenomena long after the astronauts had returned. One type of instrument was a seismograph, the same device used on Earth to measure the intensity of earthquakes. During the years it was operational, the seismograph let us listen to vibrations in the moon. The vibrations had a variety of sources. Some came from our own spacecraft landing and taking off. Some resulted when meteorites struck the moon. And still others came from moonquakes. Moonquakes are similar to earthquakes, but they're generally milder and they occur less often. Earth spawns more than 1 million earthquakes each year, while the moon only has a few hundred moonquakes. The moon is much less geologically active than Earth. Its more active period occurred billions of years ago. The seismograph also revealed a surprising fact about the crust of the moon, which is the layer of rocks that extends down about 40 miles. This layer was found to vibrate extensively, to ring like a bell for several hours after only small impacts from landing spacecraft. The Earth can also vibrate in this way, but it does so to a much lesser degree. It's thought that the moon rings because its crust is thicker and more rigid than Earth's. Our program's called StartAid, and it's heard on a family of radio stations that includes KQKR Radio, Kearney, Nebraska, WKAR in East Lansing, Michigan, and KLOR, Ponca City, Oklahoma. Our show's produced for the University of Texas MacDonald Observatory. Thanks for being with me. I'm Joel Block.
And don't forget WUSB in Stony Brook.
That's us.
That's us. And we carry StartAid faithfully every day, twice a day, 12 o'clock midnight and 5:58 p.m. in the afternoons. I just said that, didn't I?
What's with all the hype all of a sudden?
What's with all the hype?
Yeah.
Well, we want to make sure people listen to StartAid and...
And Radio Free Weekend.
Radio Free Weekend. The Radio Free Weekend has begun, and this is...
The first one.
The first Radio Free Weekend, in case the folks want to know what Radio Free Weekend is.
Don't ask us, because we don't know.
Oh, no, we do know. We know very well what it is. It goes on for 2 days long, and it's a period where there are just so many good programs. It's unbelievable. We'll tell you more about that throughout the evening.
We've got all sorts of good things coming up with for you till 3.
Till 3 o'clock, and... Well, why don't we start off with one of our best things right now.
The following heart sounds are those of pathologic conditions not commonly encountered. The fifth illustration is that of a normal third heart sound with tachycardia simulating diastolic apical rumble. Note additional sound immediately after the second heart sound. Its sharpness and time relationship to the second heart sound, differentiated from diastolic murmurs, are split second sound. The sixth illustration represents a blowing diastolic murmur at the aortic area. Note that the second sound is partially replaced by a diastolic murmur. It is of blowing quality, high-pitched and medium in intensity. The seventh illustration is that of a pericardial friction rub. Throughout systole, there is a high-pitched, adventitious characteristic sound. Note its leathery quality and its apparent closeness to the listener's ear. The eighth and last illustration is that of coupling. Every normal cycle of two heart sounds is immediately followed by an additional sound of a booming muscular quality, indicative of another first heart sound. This is followed by a compensatory pause, and the cycle is again repeated. The additional sound represents a premature contraction that occurred early in diastole, allowing sufficient heart filling only for a first heart sound. A systolic murmur is also present.
I think Eric wants me to read from this book. So,
did you learn anything from that?
Yes, back when I was about 16.
No. I mean from the information we just listened to about hearts and stuff.
Yes, I learned that your uncle is a doctor.
Yeah.
That's where you got that book from.
It's a record.
Record, yes.
And
I've been up too long.
Digitalis preparation of choice.
It's digital?
I don't know what this is. It's pretty crazy. I mean, they speak a language, and I just don't... I mean, it says here in parentheses, amorphous gitalin. I guess that's supposed to explain something, but it makes further mysteries for me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyhow, that's just the first of many things we've got for today.
Yeah. You know, something interesting that was in the Times a few weeks ago.
How long is this going to take me?
New York Times. How long is it going to take?
This.
What?
What you're doing. What you're going to read. Do you need me here now?
Do I need you here?
Yeah, I got things to do in the other room.
Oh, well, I mean, if we're taking your time.
Well, if you want them to go on the air tonight.
Well, I think, you know, we can...
We can what?
I'm thinking. Well, what do you want to do? Go ahead and do what you want to do.
I'll do that. You don't need me. I'll come back. I'll let you do your thing.
Oh, well, then, if you're going to go... Then I'm going to walk out, too.
Well, what do you think of that?
Oh, no?
Thank you.
All right. You're wondering when the action's going to pick up and when you're going to start hearing a beat or something instead of this stuff. It's very nice stuff. But the object of this program is to keep you awake and jumping around, that type of thing. Yeah, that's more like it. Wait a minute, what is this anyway? Could you pick this?
Control as madness is. Love, that is madness. Sex against sex, so be it. But let the fight be fair. Sex against sex, something
Well, you have my assurance that that was not an intentional song there. I don't know how that went over. It's called Sex Against Sex, Ludwig Englander and Sidney Rosenfeld. And it's on this album called I Wants to Be an Actor, a Actor Later. It's hard to say that. And another hit from early musical comedies. The Earl and the Girl, Babes in Toyland, Evangeline, Fritz, our cousin German, I think. The Prince of Pilsen, Wang, Little Johnny Jones, A Trip to Chinatown, In the Homie. I think we had some talk about that a few weeks ago. The Black Crook, The Passing Show, The Widow Jones, The Corsair, and Robin Hood, and that's a nice familiar one. Cincinnati's University Singers and Theater Orchestra, Earl Rivers, director. Interesting stuff. And what a way to kick off Radio Free Weekend. We've got a lot of good things coming your way throughout the weekend, so you want to stay tuned to USB FM. Especially Sunday afternoon, between the hours of 12 and 6, when we will be broadcasting live from the Village of Port Jefferson. That's the 10th annual Port Jefferson Arts and Crafts Festival. Mike Uhas and myself will be there, along with many other people from USB FM. So come on down and join us, and if you can't do that, you can always join us on the radio. And that's just one part of Radio Free Weekend. We'll be telling you all about the other parts throughout the show tonight. Right now we're waiting for Mike to get finished with his project in the other room. I understand we have a surprise guest who's going to be joining us tonight. We'll find out who that is and what they're all about in a little while. Right now it's 18 minutes after 12, 56 degrees outside Fahrenheit. And what is that, 13? Yeah, 13. Someone turn all the lights out in here. I can't see the conversion scale. It's 13 degrees centigrade Celsius. Now they're all out. I can't see anything. Well, let's let the music take over for a little while longer. We'll be back in a minute. There's no music now, but there will be. There it is.
No. the smile I'm trying to show. To Bowery he often goes, with pantaloons stuck in his boots, and beaver push up on his nose. He's always ready for a must, and lonely puss is one of them. But oftentimes he finds his match, and then he crawls up on his ear. The afternoon crawls, the afternoon crawls, for smoking or drinking or raising a brawl. The afternoon crawl, the afternoon crawl, I'll show you the Bowery afternoon crawl. But in my song I'll not forget the dandy of Fifth Avenue. Leave out the swell of Upper Ten. By Jove, you know it would never do. He jokes upon the opera and all that sort of thing, you know. A promenading afternoon, he's just a fellow for a bow. The afternoon crawl, the afternoon crawl, escorting the ladies to party or ball. The afternoon crawl, the afternoon crawl, I'll show the Fifth Avenue afternoon crawl.
Turn you down, old boy, but
we've got
Mike's back.
Things to do.
Mike, you wouldn't believe the song we started off this set with.
Sex Against Sex?
Yeah, it was an amazing tune there. I didn't think they came out with things like that back then.
Good guess.
Well, I don't know when back then was. This actually could have been recorded yesterday, for all I know. It sounds like it's old. It's supposed to be old, but...
You never know these days.
They're always doing things over. I believe you have something interesting that you'd like to share with the folks, and then I have something
This came over the wire. Today's high reading in the 48 contiguous states was 98 degrees. In Laredo in Childress, Texas.
Laredo, Texas.
What's 98 degrees C?
Okay, 98 degrees C. It doesn't go up that high. The highest we have is 93, and that's 34.
Well, the one in the newsroom probably goes that high. And the low was 25 in Jackson, Wyoming.
Jackson, Wyoming? 25
yeah.
degrees, huh?
I never knew it got that cold up in Jackson.
Oh, all sorts of things happen in Jackson.
And just to give you an idea of what's happening around the country weather-wise, in Honolulu it's fair. And today's high was 87. Expect to... tomorrow's high about 86.
That's in Honolulu, not here.
Right. Okay. Cincinnati, you can look for sunny in 84. San Francisco, you can look for fair in 66. And just a couple more. Atlanta, sunny in 87.
Well, what about our listeners in Seattle? Do you have anything for them?
In Seattle, cloudy in 65.
Oh, that's too bad.
New Orleans, sure. Partly cloudy in 87 for tomorrow.
That's
or actually
good.
Later
good.
Today. For their Radio Free Weekend.
They have some really good Radio Free Weekends down in New Orleans.
If you're going to Indianapolis, if you want to catch the 500, you're a little early. But if you're going this week anyway, you can look for sunny conditions and 83 degrees.
Well, that's heartening. So
it is, you know, and I've heard scientific theories that the temperature, climactic conditions can actually have an impact on how long a person is going to live.
You mean
people in a cold
climate might live longer than people in a hot climate?
Right, they may be better preserved, you know, up in the...
That's true. Eskimos
and animals, too, you know.
animals, too. Well, that's very funny that you said that, because that leads right into what I have to talk about here.
What's that?
This is something that, excuse me, was in the Times a while ago, May 3rd, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. It gives a list of all the ages of various animals. It's surprising, some of the animals, how long they live.
Life expectancies?
Well, yeah, life expectancies. Let's talk about our animals first, humans. Find out how long we're supposed to live. Let me see if I can make out this chart. 1980, I believe. Okay, males are supposed to live about 71 years.
Well, that's in 1980? If that's...
Actually, it's a little bit past 19. Yeah, I'd say about 70, between 70 and 71 is what we're supposed to live to. Females, on the other hand...
They outlive us, right?
Yeah, they do.
They always do. It's because they don't go running off to war.
That's true. That's
very true.
They live to 78.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
So if you don't go running off to war, you can expect an extra 8 years on your life.
That's right. Now, in 1900, things were different. 1900, men were only supposed to live until 48. And females only lived to 49 and a half. But they still outnumbered us then, too.
Yeah, well, there wasn't as many wars and political strife and violence in the streets and that kind of thing.
True. Now, get this.
There was just as much prostitution, though, if not more.
Hmm. Well, we'll try to figure out how that enters into this. In the year 2080, okay.
I'll be around then.
2080.
Well, I guess I'll be about 120.
Okay, well, the life expectancy will be about 75 and a half for males, and it looks like about 85 for females, so that really seems to be getting better for them. I don't understand that. But that's it. You know, I was hoping by that time they'd be living 200, 300 years, but no, apparently we'll still be backward as ever.
Well, that's just as good, because we'll be gone, and we won't be... just cluttering up the planet, you know. We won't be extra just dead weight, and, you know, people getting in the way, just eating up food and not contributing to productive society.
True. And I'm interested in how people look back on radio as ancient history. I mean, we can't do that because it wasn't around 100 years ago, but when it was around...
Oh, sure it was. Just ask, what's his face, Marconi.
Ooh. Marconi?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, well, that's not this type of radio.
And if you have been following Stardate...
Yeah.
You'll know that there's been radio interference for years.
Oh, radio interference, yes, but radio.
But who was listening to
it? 91 FM. What do you think WUSB is going to do on its 100th anniversary? Let me tell you, folks, we're going to have one hell of a collage that day.
Yeah.
Okay, well, enough of that. Anyway,
That's
something to think about, isn't it?
Are we going to still have the same call letters?
Will they remember Radio Free Weekend?
Is there going to be a State University of New York at Stony Brook?
Is there going to be a mega structure like there is now, or are there going to be two of them?
Oh, phew. Wow, heavy rhetoric.
Sorry, I shouldn't have said that quite that blatantly. Got some people the wrong way. Well, let's get to the animals, okay?
Okay, sure. What do you have on the animals?
Well, I got four categories. Got mammals, fish, birds, and reptiles and amphibians. Reptiles and amphibians is one category.
Okay.
It might sound like two, but it's only one.
Now, in mammals, are whales included? Did you read about poor...
They're not here.
Did you read about Delphi?
Delphi?
Yeah, the whale that was, like, down in the ocean off Long Island.
That wasn't Delphi. What was the name of that whale?
Feisty. That was a different one. That was a different one.
Oh, there's a different whale.
Yeah, Feisty.
Feisty's okay.
Delphi, yeah, they think. Delphi was a beluga who was swimming around for the last 4 years.
A what?
A beluga whale.
A beluga whale?
Mm-hmm. He was just swimming around, and...
Okay.
And he was very friendly, and he was always nudging up the boats and things and getting slashed by the propellers. And
whatever you're into, you know.
It was a big secret until about 2 weeks ago, and they couldn't find him. And they found him washed up the other day.
Oh, really?
I think it was him. Yeah, it's really a shame.
It's interesting the way that they can keep track of just about every individual whale.
Well, they think it's him.
Yeah.
He's been kind of decomposed for the last... It's kind of sad, actually.
You know, it's an interesting comment. I don't know if I ever mentioned this before, but in the old days, before boats went into the ocean, whales, as you know, communicate underneath the water. And back then, before humans went into the water...
They could talk for miles.
Lots of miles. A whale by Africa could communicate with a whale by Alaska.
Yeah.
That's how good it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's no fib, folks. That was true. Now they can communicate for several thousand feet, I think, at the most. And that's it.
That's pretty too bad.
Well, because of our ocean liners and submarines and things like that. They might be thinking that other whales are saying something else when it's our submarines that are saying it, you know. We might have totally messed up their civilization.
That's true. Well, we did. We killed them all off.
Well, that is definitely an effect on it. Well, anyway, let's get to the ages of these animals. Now, first take your domestic pets, like your... your cat and your dog, which is what most people have as domestic pets. A cat, as most people know, lives about 13 to 17 years.
Jeez, yeah, mine's about 14 right now.
14, huh?
And he's still just as finicky as ever.
Hey.
My cat chases after dogs.
I've seen some cats do that.
Yes.
What kind of dogs?
Well, not German Shepherds or Great Danes or anything. But
that would be something.
Poodles.
Yeah. Poodles will think they're 6 feet tall. I hate dogs like that. I just want to put that on the record. I hate dogs like that. Okay. Dogs. How long do you think dogs live on the average?
Oh, I'd say just about maybe 15 to 18.
Well, no, it's less than that, actually. It's just 13.
13?
I guess on the average it comes out to 13 because the big dogs like Great Danes and things only live about 10 years. And then there are other dogs, I think poodles are among them, that live about 18 years.
Huh.
So all in all, the average comes down to about 13. But that's pretty common knowledge. Grizzly bears, though. I bet you didn't know grizzly bears live for 20 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I believe it.
Horses, 20 to 30. Yeah. Lions, 20 to 25. How long do you think a mouse lives?
About 3.
1 to 2.
1 to 2? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, if he's lucky. A squirrel, though.
About 9.
9 years, exactly.
Yeah, you told me that one before.
Okay, that's the one I threw out at you before. 9 years a squirrel lives. That's pretty interesting. I've seen squirrels dancing around outside, and I didn't realize they've been around for practically a decade. Elephants.
Now, elephants can, if left in the wild, live many, many years.
Which is?
About 80?
Well, no, they don't say that much. They say 60.
60?
That's pretty good. Elephants are an endangered species.
They sure
are. A lot of people don't know that.
I watch these things on public television, and I just cry that the elephants are all being just slaughtered, like the whales.
Right, and
what gives us the right to do this?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We want the ivory.
The ivory for our pianos.
Right. And
so it's American music.
Don't destroy the American radio station here.
It's American music that's destroying elephants in Africa.
Oh, how does music do that? Oh, pianos, I see. Okay, but what else is ivory used for?
Scrimshaw.
Scrimshaw?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, anything else?
It beats me.
Yeah. Soap? No. Never mind that. That's, okay. Let's move on to another.
It's for getting rid of
deer. All right, deer.
Deer.
It says fallow deer. Do you know the difference between fallow and non-fallow deer?
Well, fallow you and fallow me.
Okay, well, whatever fallow deer are, they live for 10 years. Chimpanzees, I guess, between 15 and 20 years.
Uh-huh.
Okay, lions, what do you think lions live for?
20.
20 to 25, very good. Let's see if we hit everything on that list. I think we did. Let's go to fish. A trout.
Trout.
What do you think?
One season.
4 years.
4 years.
4 years. Yeah, they can swim upstream for, a few times.
Yeah. And they just kind of peter out after
that. They get a lot out of life. Now, electric eel. I've never seen an electric eel. I've always wanted to know. First of all, how is an eel electric? I mean, he's not plugged into anything. He doesn't even have batteries, so how does he do it? Do you understand that, or am I asking the,
You're asking the wrong person, but...
I'm afraid of that.
There was, like, last summer or something, there was a truck down in Freeport. Not in the Bahamas, but on the south shore of Long Island, going to a fish
a lot of people confused.
Filled with electric eels, or regular eels, and it fell over, and all these eels went all over the streets. I was reading this in the paper, and I was cracking up. People were coming from miles around scavenging
eels swimming on the streets. Oh, boy, American pastimes. If they were electric eels, though, and it was raining, do you think that...
Well, wait a minute.
What?
They're in the water as it is, right?
I was just talking to our chief engineer, Frank, about that, about electric currents and things, and I was asking him, if water is such a good conductor, and, by touching somebody who's currently being electrocuted, you get electrocuted, too.
Well, no, actually...
Somebody being electrocuted in, say, Portugal, in the water... Would he make everybody in the water become electrocuted at the same time who's in the Atlantic Ocean? And also, since the Atlantic Ocean connects to the Pacific Ocean, and all the lakes and streams and things like that.
The Mediterranean.
You can knock off a million people.
The Straits of Gibraltar.
Exactly. You can knock off a lot of people. No, I don't think that's possible.
No, that's not really possible.
But I never really understood the fundamentals behind it.
Well, it's because, you see, it just doesn't work that way. That's why. That's the fundamental behind it.
I guess that makes sense. But I do think you can...
Now, how long does an electric eel live?
Oh, all right. Let's get back to that. 11 and a half years. I don't know where they got the half from, but 11 and a half years.
Well,
electric
on
eel.
On average, I guess.
Electric eel has current in his body. Now, here's a real surprise.
Well, now, that's how much, how long they live currently. How long did they live 10 years ago?
They don't say that.
Sorry about that little pun.
They don't have little graphs for all the little animals.
You didn't catch that.
How long...
You didn't catch that little pun. That's how long they live currently.
No, I didn't catch it. I'll pretend for the dignity of this program that I didn't. Okay?
Can you be that way.
Fine. Goldfish. I can't. Somebody actually sat down and studied the lifespan of a goldfish, but...
In the wild or in Domesticana?
Are there goldfish
that
in the wild?
Like that sounds... Yeah, well, there's carp and stuff, right?
Well, carp is a goldfish?
Yeah, did you ever look at a carp? It's gold.
Well, I don't think that's what they mean by a goldfish. I think they mean, you know, well, goldfish like you might see swimming around in Roth Pond, you know, which is a place here on campus, or in the, maybe not a fish tank.
But wait a minute. Those aren't goldfish you see swimming around in Roth Pond, are they?
No, they're gold.
They're carp.
Are they really?
Yes, they are.
They're big goldfish.
They're carp.
Okay, then, I guess.
Eat one.
What will that tell me?
There's a difference between goldfish and carp taste.
Well, Mike, I've never eaten the goldfish either.
Give it to your cat. Your cat can tell you.
I'm sure my cat will be willing to give me that information. But let's get back to that. How long do you think a goldfish lives, whatever kind of goldfish they're talking about? How long would you expect one to live?
5 years.
5 years at the most?
Yeah.
According to this thing, goldfish can live for 25 years. So if you think you're going out and getting a goldfish for your kid or something so that he can, you know, have something to play with, you better figure it's going to be a long-term investment. And that thing may well be around longer than you are. So a goldfish, 25 years they can be around. Now, how about a halibut?
Oh, an halibut?
Yeah. Some of us talk differently than others.
How long does a halibut live?
40 years.
40 years for an halibut?
A halibut, yes. 40 years for a fish. A pike.
That's... Oh, there's a congressman, right?
Yeah, but I don't think that's the one because... this pike only lives for 24 years.
Oh.
So, I don't even know what a pike looks like.
It's a fish.
I know it's a fish. I guess all fish, you know, pretty much look like fish. But that fish was for 24 years. A trout, I had mentioned before, 4 years.
Mm.
How about a sturgeon? You know, I don't know what in blazes a sturgeon is.
It's another fish.
I know it's a fish.
They walk around the hospital with these little green capes and stuff on.
Okay, fine. A sturgeon can live for half a century, 50 years.
Wow.
For a fish. And it's interesting. I don't know if a sturgeon could live 50 years...
How did they... You mean
80 years ago. 81 years ago, if a sturgeon could live 50 years, it outlived man. A fish outlived man. And that just would... I don't know. It would do something to me.
Yeah.
Make really feel for the injustice in the world. But actually, maybe not so. I mean... Well, I don't mind.
What's the next small aspects of it? Are you done with fish?
Yeah, I'm done with fish. I'm into birds now.
Oh, boy.
Now,
one
typical
of your
little
strange
blue
fetishes,
jay.
Huh?
Typical little blue jay you see flying around. Well, how long do you think he's going to be doing that for?
4 years.
Are you reading my chart all the way over here?
No, I can't see it.
4 years, yes.
How long for a cardinal? Do you have a cardinal?
Yes, I do have cardinal. And
Spunky and Spunky were asking me about that.
They're the red birds, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're nice. I like them.
Yeah,
I was
looking out my bathroom window today, and I saw a cardinal on my grass out there. And it was interesting that he was only eating the blue grass. And if you're into country music at all, you'll know that there's a group called the Bluegrass Cardinals.
Oh, really? That must be it, then. And we have to tell Jim Ross about that.
Yeah, I'm going to have to talk to Big Jim Ross, Backwoods Bluegrass.
Okay, a cardinal lives for 22 years.
Wow.
That's
you
a
know,
long time.
Birds are really, truly amazing animals.
Oh, they certainly are.
They fly all the way up to Canada and then back down to Florida twice, well, once a year.
Wait a second. They don't fly up to Canada. Who told you that?
They bloody well do.
Well, wait, if they fly up to Canada, then what are they doing here now? They're supposed to be in Canada. If it's
no, they came back.
They came back from Florida, not from Canada. When did they go to Canada?
No, the ones who are indigenous to Canada, I mean to Florida, go up to Canada for the winter. Summer or something. They fly all over the continent, you know.
Okay. I know they fly all over the place. And
what about the Capistrano swallows or whatever they call them?
Capistrano. The swallow like an Italian food, I suppose.
All
right, Capistrano swallow to go, please.
And remember in Paducah, Kentucky, this is true. A couple of years ago, they had invasions of blackbirds all over the place.
Paducah?
Mm-hmm.
Blackbirds. Blackbirds? I've seen blackbirds. These really huge blackbirds. Have you ever seen those?
Oh, like ravens?
Yeah, exactly. Are they ravens around here?
Oh, no, those are crows.
Those are crows? Yeah. I thought the little blackbirds were crows.
No, those are buzzards.
Buzzards? Wait a second. Aren't buzzards vultures?
Yeah. No, you didn't see them around here, I don't think.
This record has been skipping for the last 10 minutes. There we go. Sorry about that. Now, wait a second. The little blackbirds, I always thought, well, wait a second. There are some birds called blackbirds, right?
That's true.
So maybe the little blackbirds are blackbirds.
And then there's a swallow.
They're black, too?
Well, no, actually, they're brown.
They're like sparrows.
Yeah, you know, I always get them confused, swallows and sparrows.
Because the names are similar as well as the looks, you know?
Yes.
How about a bluebird? Have you ever seen a bluebird?
Of happiness? No, I never have.
I haven't seen a bluebird of misery either. Anyway, let's get back to...
How long for a blue jay? Oh, you already said blue jay.
4 years for blue jay and for a cardinal, 22 years. What were we on? We weren't on anything.
Oh.
Okay, how about a Canada goose? And I guess they mean a Canadian goose.
Canadian geese?
They mean that, too.
I don't know.
You see those things in Stony Brook Village and, you know, mill ponds, mm-hmm. and things like that, right. Flying and going honk honk and that type of thing. Beep beep a couple of them. Canadian geese...
No, wait a minute. That's a roadrunner.
Oh, yes, that is a roadrunner. Do they really exist, roadrunners? Roadrunner birds, are they...
Yeah, I think they do, but not Wile E. Coyote doesn't go after them. He goes after...
Why would a coyote chase a roadrunner? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, my dog chases after pheasants.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't that one of those words where you don't put an S at the end? Pheasant?
Oh, I guess... Well, you're the English major here.
Well, I don't know anything about pheasants. let's skip pheasant, anyway.
Quail and...
It's like deer.
Deers, yeah.
You said deers. You're not supposed to say deers.
Okay. I see your point.
You're supposed to say gooses. Okay.
Canadian goose.
32 years. Canaries. Little canary that you buy in a cage and goes chirp, chirp for a while. How long is it going to do that for?
4 years.
24 years.
24 years.
I rarely do you see that around these days. It used to be a big thing a few years ago to have a canary in a cage, but...
I was in...
Not anymore.
Rockville Center the other day.
Rockville Center, huh?
Yes, I was...
Nice place.
I had some business to take care of down there. I was walking, and I saw this bird in a tropical bird store down there. Boy, it was beautiful. It was like a toucan, you know, like on Fruit Loops. And it was really very nice. It had all sorts of... really nice markings on it. It was basically a black bird with a orange-yellow beak. And the eyes, it was like this fur around his eyes. It was just really brilliant blue, really very brilliant blue. And I wonder how long they live. I don't know if Eric has that on his list. How long does a toucan last?
A what?
Toucan.
A toucan?
Yeah. Like on Fruit Loops?
No, that's not on this list.
Oh.
I don't know. Canaries, 24 years for canaries.
Right.
That surprised me.
We were talking about pet shops and toucans.
Well, was the bird you saw...
It might have been a cockatoo.
How about a peacock?
No, it wasn't.
NBC has.
No.
USB should have a bird.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that. We should have some sort of a bird that comes in here and spreads its wings and stuff. We won't be able to see it over the radio, but maybe we could hear it. You know, like a big flutter of wings or something or some other sound that birds make.
I saw a very, very pretty pheasant the other day.
Pheasants are the ones that run across roads, right?
Pheasant are the ones that run
across... I'm sorry.
I don't know.
Those birds run across roads.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was really very beautiful. It was it really started my day off on the right foot.
That's nice to know. Well, anyway, we're up to canaries. We went through cardinals. How about herons?
Like in Gil Scott Heron and Brian Jackson?
Well, yeah, you could say that, but I don't think this...
How did American music get into this again?
Got me, but we got herons here. Herons. 24 years for herons, too.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that, well...
Yeah, that could be. Now, I'm just going to steal this. I'm going to read a few off. He's probably read these himself. And, let's see, okay, how about a snowy owl?
A snowy owl?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe 20 years?
24 and a half.
24 and a half. And it, a half?
Uh-huh, that's what it says.
You know, owls. Owls are supposed to be wise birds, but do you know they're among the stupidest of birds?
Oh, yeah.
They're really dumb. I mean, they don't have anything up there.
You know, I had always thought the birds that go, whoo, 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 I always thought they were owls.
No, they're mourning doves.
Yeah, I know.
And I used to think that mourning doves were the doves that you heard in the morning, but no, they're mourning, like, you know, they're upset.
Yes.
With a U in there.
Yes, yes. Pigeons.
Pigeons.
Now, pigeons, you figure they're a city bird.
Mm-hmm.
And they just hang out in the city, and they get run over by cars and that kind of thing.
Now, pigeons are the ones, I think, that surprised me more than anything.
Oh, you...
I saw that one before, and they live for what?
35 years.
35 years. Do you realize that there are pigeons walking around the streets of Central Park that have seen the Korean War or maybe even World War II? 35 years ago was...
Yeah,
that's
the
end of World War II.
That's the average pigeon, and
okay, so
you figure that some of them are over the average.
So there are some pigeons in Central Park that were around when the Third Reich was around. That's amazing.
Are they talking about regular Central Park pigeons, or are they talking
about
carrier pigeons?
What other kind of pigeons are they?
Carrier pigeons.
Oh, carrier. Well, I would think they're more specified. I mean, you walk in Central Park, you don't say that's a Central Park pigeon. You say that's a pigeon. You know, just plain old pigeon.
I
saw a pigeon in Stony Brook the other day.
How about a robin?
Looked like it belonged in Central Park. A robin, I'd say about 12 years.
Mm-hmm. I know a girl named Robin.
I do, too.
Her last name's Banks. Robin Banks.
Anyway,
she's Robin Banks. You know, she gets in trouble then. How about a sparrow? We were talking about the sparrows of Capistrano before.
That is an interesting name. We should look someone up and see if they have that name.
Robin Banks.
That's a good one. Not, you know, best I've ever heard, but not bad. What?
Sparrow.
Sparrows. Sparrows. Probably about 3 years.
20.
20 years of
these
little sparrows?
These birds are very, very amazing in lifespan. Here.
My goodness, you
now,
think a sparrow is so insignificant, the little thing, you know?
This next one here I'm going to mention, you probably already read, but it's truly, truly amazing. A raven.
Ah, a raven.
69.
69 years? A raven?
Mm-hmm.
My God, what did they do? I mean...
They were probably...
Look, when you're a human, okay, and you live for 70 or so years...
You're right. If your name happens to be Edgar Allan Poe, you write poems about birds.
Well, yeah, you do something. You work in a construction firm, you work in a bank, you plow up roads, you do things like that. You find something to pass the time with, a doctor, a lawyer, stuff like that. But what in 20 does a
DJ
bird do for 69 years? It does the same thing. It goes down and comes back and has children, things like that. And, come on, 69 years?
That's very amazing.
To be a bird, 69 years, I think it's a waste.
Birds have children.
Humans could use those years.
Birds have children.
Well, don't look at me.
They have baby birds.
Well, whatever they
don't have children.
They're children birds.
Unless this is another Swift's Family Robinson or some movie about the kid that gets raised by rabbits or something like that out in the woods.
Well... We have a few more. Our pizza is downstairs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll
so
go down and get it.
We have to rush through. Okay, well...
Why don't we just go into the interview and we'll come back with more?
Well, there are a couple... Okay, we'll come back with these other ones a little later. We have a few reptiles and amphibians for you. And did we get through all the birds?
Yeah, we got through the birds.
So we just have a couple of reptiles and amphibians. But we have a surprise guest.
And this is for real, too.
This is for real.
This is...
Unlike many things that go on here.
This... interview I conducted with Annabelle Cairns. She writes the radio column in Long Island Newsday. And she was kind enough to come down and speak with us.
Well, I'm grateful she did that, and I'm sorry I missed her. We'll
talk about that later.
Tell the folks why I couldn't make it.
A little later on.
But right now, here's Annabelle Cairns and Mike Juhas at 1251 on Radio Free Weekend WUSB in Stony Brook.
Well, with us in the studio right now, actually... Last night was Annabelle Cairns, and Annabelle, you write the Newsday column, the radio column.
Right.
And how long have you been doing that?
A little more than a year and a half, a year and three quarters.
And how did you get into actually writing the radio column in a newspaper?
They asked me. I mean, this was Newsday's idea. Newsday and my editor, Joe Canaan, saw the need for... some attention to radio in a community that is so caring. You know, we drive all the time, which means one of our main forms of entertainment is radio.
In the car.
Yeah, yeah. If nowhere else, we're living with radio in the car. So he wanted somebody to write about it. They called me in, and they said, and I said, my God, I listen to CBS AM. What do
all
I
news.
Know about it?
All news.
And I started learning.
Mm-hmm.
And you've all read my early lessons, or, you know, they published my early efforts.
That's good. And now, I've seen it on different days of the week, and finally now you're in on Tuesdays.
Correct.
And is that going to stay that way for a while, or?
Well, it depends. See, I only do radio once a week,
right.
One day a week.
Right.
The rest of the time, I'm an editor, and the reason the column was shifted from Thursday to Tuesday was because I am the copy editor on the In Fashion section. We started a new section called In Fashion.
That shows up on Tuesdays as well.
Right. So it became, Monday used to be my day to do report radio. It was impossible to do it on Monday. We had to switch it to Tuesday. It was too hard to try and report out and write a story that quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So we shifted it to Tuesday. Now I had a week lead time to work on a column.
I see. So I guess Tuesday is the only paper you buy because you have so much in it. You have your column and you have the In Fashion, which is...
I never look at it. I never look at either of them. The Tuesday paper is the one paper I don't see. No matter what you do, I'm sure it's true in every job, you always think, if I could only have had a little more time, or if I could only do it over.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Tuesday's the one paper I never see.
I see. You visit an awful lot of radio stations. I've seen nearly virtually all of the major commercial stations mentioned, or at least mentioned in your column. Have you ever been interviewed before on the radio?
Yes.
Oh. We're not the first ones.
No, in fact, my first one was within about 2 months of starting the column.
Mm-hmm.
And I put the headsets on like everybody does, and when I heard my voice coming back at me, I nearly went off the wall. I couldn't believe it. But it's something
which,
I enjoyed.
Which station was that?
WGLI
in
Babylon.
Right.
They had me on with listeners calling in, and it was nice. It was new, and it was nice to have one or two people call in. So like any jock, I get scared when the phones don't light up.
Well, our phone was just ringing a moment ago, but that was for Jim Ross, who's running his show right now while we're taping. Actually, we didn't tape this yesterday. We taped it the day before yesterday, which was Wednesday, which is just okay. And now my mind is totally in gear. So basically, you've grown up on Long Island, or?
Oh, no, I grew up on Long Island. Well, yeah, I grew up. I came here when I was four.
I see.
And I've lived most of my life in Long Island and, some New York City, Westchester.
I see. And so basically your only radio listening prior to your column was just one all-news station.
Well, no, what I didn't realize until I got into radio was even though I can never remember being WMCA good guy freak, I knew all the jocks' names, and I would recognize them when I heard them. So that even when you're, I was a very studious kid, and I was not, very cool as a teenager at all.
Uh-huh.
But despite that, it must have been from, because radio was so much around us, that I knew Harry Harrison,
mm-hmm.
Scott Muni, and didn't know them personally, but I knew all their names, Dan Daniels, and it's been, I admit it, it's been quite a kick to go out. And the only thing I have to keep remembering not to say is, I listened to you when I was a real little kid. I had to stop that, but it's been a thrill.
That's good. Have you, besides GLI, getting back to that again, have you been interviewed by any other stations?
I've been on WYFA twice, and I've been a morning jock on WGBB. I did time, temp, and traffic, just like everybody else. And it was scary, and it was pleasure, but it's another way of learning. I mean, obviously, I don't learn what it's like to do it day after day after day after day, but you begin to get a... What I noticed when I was a morning jock for the first time was how boring it is to keep saying over and over again, the Long Island Railroad is on or close to schedule. I thought I was going to scream, let's call up Amtrak. There must be a delay somewhere. That gave me a new question to ask jocks from time to time. Don't you get bored
right.
with the same routine? How do you keep being fresh what I find out is at least most of them say they love their work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true, I guess, with many of them. But this is the first non-commercial station you've ever been interviewed on, so we do have a first.
Right, right. Yes, the non-commercial stations don't ask me.
Well?
Have mouth, we'll travel.
Some people call us Long Island's non-commercial alternative. In fact, our program director calls us that, so I guess we all call it Long Island's non-commercial alternative. If you're a listener listening to us right now, you know that we feature diversified music. We have all sorts of programs. And Radio Free Weekend, the program you're listening to right now, is talking with Annabelle Cairns, if you just tuned in, writer of Newsday's radio column. And... So, what are your feelings on being interviewed by a non-commercial radio? Well, do you listen to non-commercial radio at all?
I listen primarily to the station I'm going to write about.
Uh-huh.
And I listen a lot to WNDC and to WBLI simply because WNBC has, according to Arbitron.
Which is rather arbitrary, too.
Well, the other thing, but WNBC's lead is so big over any other station that it's got to be the biggest, the station with the most listeners on Long Island. I do that because I feel if that's what Long Islanders listen to, it's up to me. And I admit there are a lot of times when I'm listening to that station that I know it's work. That it's every once in a while I turn on CBS and I feel like I'm goofing off. You know, it's not work anymore. BLI, because it's the biggest of the Long Island-based stations. And, you know, when I'm in their signal range, when I can get them, I try to listen. I try to listen to stations if somebody recommends it. I'll tell you this much, though. When I go home at night and I'm tired, I don't put on the radio anymore. It is either the stereo or the television. I use a color TV, which must cost me a fortune to operate. I use that for background noise because when the radio's on, it's work. It's my sister lives in Philadelphia, and we went to visit her. And there's a station there called WMGK Magic 103, and it plays this soupy music. And it didn't bother my sister and my brother-in-law. But after about one day of listening to this station that never played anything but, like, Barry Manilow, I wanted to throw the radio out because the radio no longer is background to me at all. It's always foreground.
You're involved in it.
Yeah, and it's hard to listen to it for relaxing at all. So it's no longer my my recreation or my background companion.
I found that very true myself since I got involved with radio. Where I work, we listen to a commercial station, which I don't want to mention, simply because it's a happy medium and everybody isn't totally repulsed by it, as some faction would be with one particular station and another faction would be totally turned off by another station. And although I hate what they play, I really do, it's all Barry Manilow and that kind of thing. Oh, by the way, we did play Barry Manilow on this very show a couple of weeks ago, but that was just kind of a goof.
Yes.
But although I listen to what the DJs say simply because I'm so involved with radio myself, just to hear their style. And I listen to what their songs sound like, not because I like them musically. But I see your point there.
That's hard, but there's one thing that everybody should understand. This is not a column in the way that Walter Winchell had a column. It's edited, and it's we mentioned you in the column, not just I.
Uh-huh.
And the other thing for readers is I have nothing to do with headlines. So if you didn't like the headline, I mean, I see the headline when it's in the paper.
Uh-huh.
It's edited. And it goes through, like any story is edited, and it goes through a process of checking and deciding what items are worth mentioning and what aren't. And that's why I try, whether I'm talking to a reader who calls in, and it's perfectly all right for a reader to call in and say, hey, how come you don't ever do such and such a person? I mean, this is where I get story ideas from, is when people call in and let me know. I usually say things like, I can't promise. And if I don't tell you, I can't promise. It's only because I'm too pressed for time.
So now, if I was to say to all my listeners right now, would you please call Annabelle Cairns at Newsday and ask her to do a story on our show, and they all called you, and 900 of them called you Monday morning and said, would you please do a story on WUSB, you'd say... Maybe.
That's all I could say.
Yeah.
That's all I could say, because I would have to, on a thing like that, I would have to point out that for the first time I'm going to go to a college radio station, and I would sort of have to talk to somebody about, well, should it be this college radio station we do first and this personality, or should it be Hostress, you know, or Adelphi's? You know, those are decisions that I don't make alone. I try to have a reason for why I'm doing this column, why I'm choosing this person, and we try to develop, standards as to why items aren't used. I mean, it's not, it's reality. So some of it has to be, it came in too late, or I didn't understand the press release, which is, the way press releases are written can be quite understandable. I mean, some of it is through inadvertence, but we have been trying to develop guidelines so that we can tell people more clearly that I'm sorry I can't take your contest just because you're offering a trip to Acapulco. Doesn't mean I can take it. I can't take it I generally don't take things that are over. There's no point telling everybody that Mike Uhas was brilliant last week. Very little point in telling him that. All I say is, look, if you're going to replay the show, call me ahead of time so I can, write and say Mike Uhas will be brilliant this Friday. That's at some point. And those are things that we've developed as we've gone along, and there will always be exceptions. I mean, some man, I was telling him, I don't write up things that have happened. And he said, you wrote up the Reagan shooting.
You wrote up Frank Perdue the other day.
Yeah. I mean, there are things that that we think have some interest. Actually, we had been watching WGBB for hoping they would get enough of a personality to be really interesting, you know, that would grab both counties, because I run both editions. And they hadn't up to that time, so we went in and did Frank Perdue, because and we also thought, by the way, when we set out to do that, we thought Tom Carvel was also going to be there, and we thought we'd have two personalities who would really interest.
So what happened to Tom?
They say he had hip trouble. And
or voice trouble.
No, I think it may have been more preparation. I don't know, sure you could sit for 4 hours and do it personally, but we had set out to do something a little different. And
now, of course, in case our listeners don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, Frank Perdue sat in as a guest disc jockey on the Ima show, and we just thought he was such a personality that it would be interesting what his reaction was. And then, of course, the next week, WGBB came up with Fran Purcell, who would have been an interesting character. But the thing is, nobody gives me 6 months of what's going to happen choose intelligently. Right. Well, I mean, if I could get that, then I could make even better decisions. But you make the best decisions you can, and we're not ruling out going back and talking to, I understand Gil David, who does the WGBB show, has been interested in people, just ordinary people like dentists or a chiropractor, and we might go in and ask somebody who has no media experience, ask them. Somebody who was much more like me. I mean, Frank Perdue was so cool, it was unbelievable. Yeah. I was so excited.
Now, let me just get this straight. GBB has guest DJs, is that what?
Right, on Friday.
I see.
They do it, and...
Okay.
That might be a human interest type story. We won't do that story right away. I don't care how good the dentist is. We won't do it for a couple of months. But I have to keep juggling and thinking and trying over the long haul, because I hope to be doing it for years.
You too have to maintain a certain amount of diversity.
Right,
in your
column.
Your listeners.
Right, I call them listeners too. I've gotten into that.
Your readers don't want to read the same things over and over again.
But I'll tell you what I do value tremendously are letters from listeners, what they would like to read about. We've even been thinking of doing something like a disc jockey poll just to see if we could flush out some people that we don't know about. I mean, like Harry Harrison, we know, we've done. But maybe we could, it's not so much for who wins the poll, but who's placing that we don't know about.
Right.
But that people might like to read about. I love to get, the only thing is, It's really a waste of your stamp to write me about what happened to a jock who's off the air.
Oh.
I mean, I wrote a column saying if he's off the air, he got fired.
Right.
And I can't find him for you unless he calls me. And they don't. Somebody called me up all about Sturgis Griffith. He was just let go at WABC, or he's just been pulled off the air at WABC. I don't have his home phone number.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there was no little directory of, you know, home phone numbers. And if they pull Imus, you know, what am I going to be able to tell you? The station will give me some sort of, you know,
that's right.
rhetoric, and that's what I'll have. And, you know, then it's too late. Write me now while he's still on the air, and maybe we can go talk to him. Tell me what you'd like to know about radio. I mean, I get people who want to know about the very technical things like who's shifting their antenna. I mean, there is at least one person out there who wants to know that.
Yeah.
Maybe it was you who called in and asked me why I don't write about those things. But if people will tell me. Now, if I do get 900 phone calls about Mike Juhas on Monday.
And Eric Corley, who, by the way, was sick today and couldn't make the interview.
Well,
my co-host.
What you'll probably see is an amusing little item about how there was this mass call-in from Mike Juhas, you know, prompted by his request. But you might see in a couple of weeks, like I already know who I'm doing, I know who will be in on the 26th, and I know who will be in the first week of June. Probably. I mean, things can happen if WABC decided to go all talk like that. I might push a column aside and put something else in. But I try to work ahead, and it's just somebody who gets in the hopper, and eventually we go back to them. And no, I don't know where Gene Klavan is right now. Now, you wouldn't believe how many letters I get. Simply, and I've already written about him that he's off the air. And people just keep saying, tell me where he is. Tell me what happened to him. And there's nothing more to say except that he's off the air.
Well, the best thing would be to write to the radio station. A lot of people think of radio as just being there and being machines and so on. And as you found out, there are actually people behind the mics.
And what I also, well, I didn't find it out. I also knew it. But it's a thing I'd like to get across to the public as strongly as possible, is that the public owns these airwaves. And when you call up a radio station and they ask you who's calling, you say, the owner, because it's your airwaves.
That's a good point.
And you ought to participate. And right now, every single station in New York State's license is up for renewal, and now is the time. Just write FCC Washington, D.C. It'll get there. You don't have to write a fancy address.
You don't have to say it's 1919 M Street Northwest.
Exactly. I'm glad you know. I don't know it offhand. Because when I write it in the column, I just say Washington, D.C. and FCC and the zip code. That is all you need, and you don't even need the zip code. It'll get there.
Right.
And you start telling them if you don't like lyrics, I know that some people find lyrics suggestive. Okay, write it. Now's the time to write in. If you find vulgar, if you think that there is something they should be doing that they never happened to cover Nissaquag. Now, for some reason, you think Nissaquag should be covered. I have no particular feelings one way or another, but you feel you are not being served right now, or don't complain. It's right now. And those licenses, right now, they're for 3 years. Before those licenses expire, they may become licenses in perpetuity, and you'll never have another chance to say again.
Now, didn't the FCC just deregulate radio, commercial radio?
Yes, it did, and it's now before the courts.
Okay, so I recall reading somewhere or something about how station licenses are going to be the equivalent of just like an index card, a punch card, saying, well, these people have been operating, so they can keep on doing it.
Well, there's... No, they'll lose their licenses if they practice business frauds or hurt the advertisers. That's the only way licenses are pulled these days. That's why RKO lost it, for fraudulent business practices. Alleged, I don't know if it's alleged or not at this point, but it lost it on the basis of its business practices.
But RKO is still broadcasting it.
Right, they're peeling it. I mean,
right.
The more frightening thing about the FCC is, and deregulation is that, the deregulation, which means that a radio station can put on as many commercials as it wants. That's one of the things it can do. It
all doesn't commercial have, radio.
You're going to have it. You're going to have Penny Saver of the air, which may not be a bad thing. I mean, I'm not saying it's bad. Penny Savers are useful. That's where you find the guy who fixes your roof. I mean, they're not necessarily bad things, but The public should be participating. If the public should have some safeguards there. They will not have to carry news if they don't want to. Now, news, a lot of stations want to. Obviously, CBS thinks it's intelligent, and it's good programming, and it makes money. But people ought to understand that when it comes to radio, they are not the consumers. They are the product. They are what radio sells. Radio groups you into little classes, little cells called 18 to 24, 25 to 34. And then it sells you to the advertisers. And they're not out there to serve you. They're out there to serve the advertisers. And the thing that is that right now Congress is considering legislation to make deregulation law. And you might also drop a note and just write Congress. Mm-hmm. You just write New York Congressman, Long Island Congressman, North Babylon Congressman, Washington, D.C. It'll get there. And start telling him you want to know what he's going to do about your airwaves. Because right now, a radio station, when I get my driver's license, I think it's $3. My car registration is something like $24. A broadcast license doesn't cost a cent.
Not a cent.
For free.
Right.
And they turn around and sell them for $11 million.
Mm-hmm.
And not one cent goes back to the public treasury. And I just think, I don't care what your views are, but the NAB gets,
the National Association of Broadcasters,
gets its views across very effectively.
Oh,
they
yes.
have full-time people who do nothing but present their views. If the public is going to get its views across, it's only going to come because one person sits down and writes a letter. Never mind waiting for a group to ask you to sign a petition.
Mm-hmm.
Just sit down right now and start writing letters about it. You want to know what's going on with the airwaves and what's going to happen. There are so many questions that are so... I wish I could do broadcasting full time. I wish I could cover the FCC because I think there's so much going on and it is this very private, in-house dialogue between the broadcasters and the FCC. And the public isn't even finding out that these decisions are being... I have tried to write up. What they're trying to do is they're trying to do a postcard renewal. To renew my driver's license, mm-hmm. I have to fill out more questions than they want broadcasters.
And take an eye test as well.
Right. Yeah, I have to take an eye test. And I have to send a check. It keeps galling me that they don't even have to pay any money for these licenses. But, they're gonna do postcard renewals if it goes through,
mm-hmm.
and if we let it go through. And the FCC will respond. If there is enough letters, and granted, there will have to be millions of letters, but a million letters starts with one.
That's right.
And if you don't write your one, don't complain. If you sit back and you don't take an interest, then don't complain about the junk you're getting, or don't complain about the laws. And I don't care, even if you're a broadcaster and you thoroughly disagree with me, yes, I do think you can still... Right, you can participate in this decision.
That's right.
It's the most important.
That's right. I guess the National Association of Broadcasters is basically the lobby group for broadcasters on the commercial band. But we, in non-commercial radio, and I say that not only for ourselves, WUSB Stony Brook, but for any non-commercial station, whether it be your local high school station or, say, Connecticut Public Radio or someone like that, We are not supported by any advertisers, and therefore we don't care. Well, we do care, but we don't really care how we can be competitive without being competitive. You see, we can offer you an alternative, and that's the whole purpose of the way I see it as not of non-commercial radio.
Well, you can compete in terms of programming, not in terms of revenue.
Right. Exactly.
A station like WRFM, which I just wrote up, can do very well financially with a smaller audience than WNBC, simply because it can sell its audience. Its audience is perceived as what's called upscale, which means it has money, and they can
money.
They
can.
I wish I knew. I think I've forgotten. But they can make money. And the thing is, if a radio station could make a fortune playing silence, you might find just silence on your radio dial, because these commercial radio stations are in it for money, and ratings are important as they translate into dollars. And that's the only reason you're important to them. They really don't care if you have a bumper sticker on your car.
Well, that reminds me. I'm going to have to steal a bumper sticker for you for your car.
Oh. I actually keep them on my wall.
Well, that's just as good, because if our bumper stickers, if you put them on your car, they wrinkle.
But, you know, I shouldn't say they don't care if you have a bumper sticker, because these are basically good people trying to do a decent job, but their job is by law to create, when they're publicly traded corporations, that they must create revenue. That is their prime responsibility, creating revenue for their shareholders. They have to wear two hats, and they have to do it at the same time. But if you're not there nudging them to give you the programming you want,
then you'll never get it.
They'll forget to put that hat on. It'll stay beautiful looking because it'll never be worn.
Right.
You know, and I think it's important for people to participate. Call up their radio stations. Tell them what they want. If they don't get satisfaction from the radio station, you know, get on the backs of the FCC and start them. Because the FCC, the Reagan FCC, looks like it is going to be very conservative, that it is going conservative in the sense of making changes to make it better to do business, not conservative in the sense that they're not going to make any changes in the existing regulations. The man named Fowler, who's taking over as chairman of the FCC, is already talking about how he wants to unregulate broadcasting.
No.
And after it happens in radio, it's going to happen in television, and by that time it's going to be too late to bother screaming and forming little groups to save this, that, or the other thing. There's mm-hmm. time to move, and the time is now.
Yes. I agree with you 100%.
So
go look in the Newsday, and you'll see in there from time to time they print your names of your local congressmen, and you know the FCC is in Washington. So sit down as soon as we get into the next song, as soon as we start the next tune, you start writing a letter.
Yes, because just letting your congressman know that you're interested in what he's going to do about broadcasting makes him pay a little more attention, so that maybe he won't be selling this vote in exchange for a vote on something
mm-hmm.
for him. He'll know his constituency is aware, and that he had better at least be able to explain and defend his positions.
Know that his constituency is aware that radio, as we see it now, is such a wasteland. That's my particular viewpoint of commercial radio. At least you'll go up and down the dial, and you'll hear clones all over the place. You'll hear beautiful music, and then you'll hear top 40, you know, hey, this is, you know, top 40 radio, and very, very few stations dare to take a plunge of something different. Occasionally they do, but
well, it's a hard question. Because
yeah, they want to make the bucks.
Well, the other thing is, if people want that kind of top 40 music, then isn't it in the public interest to give it to them? I mean,
that's
there
true.
Are there right now. WNCN, a classical music station, controls what's tantamount to a 50,000-watt FM signal, and serves about 33,000 people. Now, aren't they being a bit piggish?
They get a little bit more than a watt a person. That's not bad.
It is a complex area. It is, and I don't have all my ideas aren't really set on this. I think that there's a great deal to be said for deregulation. I think that a lot of broadcasters will continue to do good work because they've been doing it all along, and because they are decent people who want to do a decent job. I mean, they're not bad people, but I think that the people as listeners, or the listeners as people, should be a pressure on them, and should be a constant pressure, just to remember that they are always factored into the equation, what they want, things like that. And right now is the time. If you don't write the FCC now, don't bother. After June 1st, I mean, it's when they're up for renewal. And that's the time. I think it's June 1st. I may be wrong on the date, but it's sometime in June. And
what about Connecticut stations? Is that the same date?
No. Each state, licenses are up for renewal by state, and I don't know if Connecticut is up or not. It may be. It may be another year. But if you want to get involved, you want to bring back Klavan. Write him, people, instead of writing me about Klavan, write the FCC about WOR. I mean, because it's just it's a phenomenal reaction to the loss of Gene Klavan. People really want him on the air. So, write WOR, write the FCC that you don't like what was done with your airwaves and that you want, he wants 4 hours, they want to give him three. I doubt that the FCC will get much involved in it, but at least it begins to tell people that they want an activist FCC when the FCC itself is turning passive. Mm-hmm. And my only thing against a very passive FCC is that those are my airwaves.
Right.
They are the public's airwaves, and Newsday is not Broadcasting Magazine. And the stance we adopt in all choices is what best serves the Long Island public, the reading public, what best serves our readers. And I think the best thing that serves our readers is to just keep pointing out, I wish I could do it more often, but from time to time you just point out that listeners own the airwaves. The public owns the airwaves. You don't even have to listen to the radio to be an owner. The public owns the airwaves, and the public should participate. And everybody, I mean, I'm just as happy by everybody writing in saying deregulation is wonderful and everybody ought to, and every single regulation on radio should be dropped, as I would be if people writing in and saying put back all those regulations.
Just because they're expressing their views.
Yeah, it should be a people's decision. It shouldn't be seven people who got their decisions because so-and-so nominated them, because so-and-so used to be a this, that, or the other thing. It shouldn't be a club. Or it shouldn't be a club. It should be a club that admits me as a member, too. I mean, I will join a club that will admit me. Like Groucho Marx. You know, if they'll have me, I want to join, and whether they want me or not, they're going to get me. And I think that should be everybody's point of view, that they should participate. And I wish that one wish is that I could do radio full-time, because it is the story.
Do cover radio in your column?
Well, work on it full-time.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, because the stories that are of most, not necessarily interest, but I think the public has the most right to know about, are the ones that are the hardest to report out and take the longest time. And I have Fridays off because I work a Sunday through Thursday trick, and sometimes it takes, I report out on Friday, and then I can't get back to it for a week, and I can do some more reporting on it, but it takes a lot of work, and every once in a while I like to go to the beach, I like to go to my sister's, even if she does play awful radio. You know, I'm a very human person, and there are other things that I like to do besides work. But I think that I'm not suggesting everybody should subscribe to Broadcasting Magazine. It won't serve most people's needs at all.
Well, they'll tell them which direction stations are sending their antennas.
Yes, it will. It will tell you everything you ever wanted to know, and much, much more about broadcasting. But I wish I could do more for the readers. It's my main regret about radio is that now that I've found out how much is going on,
mm-hmm.
I'm so sorry I can't share more of it, because I got into the business of journalism because I wanted to be a blabbermouth, and I want to tell everybody. I want everybody to share in what's going on. I want everybody. I don't want insiders.
Right.
I don't like that idea. I want all of us to be insiders and all of us to know what's going on. And I don't want to know any more than I've told you in the radio column, but unfortunately I do, just because of time limits.
Right.
And space limits. They also won't let me have the entire paper. They think there's some point to other news. I don't share that viewpoint, but...
Well, you're number one. That's all that counts. Okay, well, we're running low on time. Have anything... Just any views that you want to throw out that you haven't already expressed?
No, you basically let me get it all off my chest in this wonderful way. I think radio is fun, and I think it's important, and I wish your listeners would let me know. I mean, okay, they can tell me how I should write up my QHOS first, and then tell me second, you know, who they want second, because it's something I didn't understand until I got into the newspaper business. But if you can only report what you know. And if you don't know about it, then you can't report it. And if you're not going to call and tell me about it, then don't yell at me for not writing it up.
Okay, so first thing Monday afternoon, call Annabelle Karens up at Newsday. We're not going to tell you the phone number. We're going to let you do that yourselves. Look it up. And tell her that you want a full-page article on Mike Juhas and Eric Corley.
All right, tell me.
Yeah, now if 900 people of you did 900 of you did that, or even if one of you called back 900 times, I'm sure she'd get the impression that there are actually people listening to this show, and maybe it would give her a little nudge.
Maybe it would give me a reason for choosing this station ahead of others. I know. I mean, reader input is. It's funny. People don't believe it, but a real letter from somebody who doesn't seem to have an axe to grind or a product to sell is really terribly valued in the newsroom. And, absolutely. The worst I can tell you is that I'm very busy right now and I can't talk. That's the worst that will happen to you. I'm not going to, I don't know. I've never hung up on anybody yet, and I can't imagine that I would, but I would... I'll talk to you as much as I can, given the pressures that I have other work to do. And, we'd certainly take anybody's views into consideration.
Great. Okay, so you do that, you folks, and I'd like to thank Annabelle Kerins, Newsday's radio columnist, for being with us on the program tonight.
Thank you.
Okay.
Hello, honey, it's me. What did you think when you heard me back on the radio? What did the kids say when they knew it was their long-lost daddy-o? Remember how we listened to the radio, and I said, that's the place to be. And how I got the job as an FM jock the day you married me. It was two kids and I was into AM rock, but I just had to run around. It's been 8 years since I left you, babe. Let me tell you about what's gone down. I am a morning DJ at WOLDD. Playing all the hits for you, wherever you may be. Great good morning, boys, who's heard but never seen. Feeling all of 45, going on 15. The drinking I did on my last big gig, it made my voice go low. They said that they liked the young sound. They let me go. So I drifted on down to Tulsa, Oklahoma, to do the late night talk show. Now I've worked my way down home again, near the Boise, Idaho. That's how this business goes. I am the morning.
But you can travel on 10,000 miles and still stay where you are. Thinking that I should stop this jockeying and start that record store. Maybe I could settle down and take me back once more. Okay, honey, I see. I guess he's better than me. Sure, old girl, I understand. You don't have to worry, I'm such a happy man. I am the morning DJ at WOLDD. WOLDD. WOLDD.
from that window ledge. Don't panic.
Don't panic. The tripods have not been canceled or postponed or anything like that.
Well, they've been a little bit postponed because of Annabelle Karen's interview.
Yeah, they have been postponed. They'll be on a little bit.
Don't jump in front of that moving train.
No, there's no reason. Are trains running this time of night?
Oh, sure.
Okay, don't do it then. They'll be coming up along with a lot of other good things. I want to thank Annabelle for coming in like that and doing that interview. I'm sorry I couldn't be there. I wasn't sick, Mike.
You're going to have to explain to our listeners in a little while.
I'll explain, exactly what I was doing and all sorts of other things. So stay tuned. You're on Radio Free Weekend.
On WUSB.
Stony Brook.
246-7901
is our phone number. 1:34 in the morning, 55 degrees outside. Stay with us. Hi, I'm Stanley Fisher, and I'd like to invite you to enroll in the all-new Stanley Fisher Offensive Driving School. You may ask, why do I need to know offensive driving? Well, I'll tell you. Don't ask stupid questions. You know as well as I do that the roads are filled with morons, idiots, bimbos, chuckleheads, lame brains, dimwits, clods, fools, meatheads, turkeys, jerks, and imbeciles. And if you want to become a competent driver, you're going to have to learn how to deal with these losers. The Stanley Fisher Offensive Driving School shows you how. Not just by showing you books, but by taking you out on the road. Now, here's a typical traffic jam. What most people don't know is that a traffic jam is caused by one or two people who just don't know how to drive. They see a school and they slow down. They give other people right of way. They try to get along with everybody on the road. Well, here at the Stanley Fisher Offensive Driving School, we teach you how to deal with these situations. Watch. Hey, what the hell is wrong with you people? I gotta be somewhere in 10 minutes. Come on, get the head out. Move it. Hey, hey, you, I'm getting pretty tired of looking at your bumper sticker. Get out of my way, huh? Come on. Hey, did you see the gesture that guy made at me? Watch how a professional driver handles the situation. Hey, your mother, where's army boots, you creep? Well, look at that. Now he's getting out of his car. I'll tell you, some people just don't know the first thing about driving.
What'd you say about my mother?
Another problem you may encounter is the tailgater. Now, when you feel like going slow, there's no reason why you should have to deal with these clowns behind you. There are two ways you can treat them. Make sure the tailgater is within a few inches of your rear bumper and start to speed up so that he'll do the same. Then, lock your brakes and you'll certainly teach him a lesson. Or, if that's not enough and you're on a two-lane highway, wait until you see an oil tanker or something approaching in the other lane. Then, wave the tailgater on and let him pass you. And, if he's as stupid as you think he is, instant satisfaction. Finally, you'll need to protect yourself against radar speed traps and other nasty, undemocratic things. If, however, you should fall into one, you'll need to know how to drive to escape police harassment and maybe a few bullets. High-speed chases, just one of the many things that Stanley Fisher's Offensive Driving School teaches you all about. So don't delay. If there's a Stanley Fisher outlet near you, drop by today before it moves to another town. Our rates are reasonable, $2,942 plus tax, and senior citizens are eligible for 2% off. The Stanley Fisher Offensive Driving School. It's the only way to learn to drive.
Play that fast thing one more.
file. Play that fast thing here on USB Radio Free Weekend. It's 1:45, and I guess it's kind of funny that we heard that thing about the offensive driving, because that is kind of what I was doing. You know, that's why I couldn't be there for Annabelle.
Annabelle Karen.
It's kind of a long story. I'll try to make it brief.
Well, you had to go to this course so you can get a break on your insurance.
Well, it started before that, actually. I had to go to the city. And in the morning, I was in a hurry to get to this. It's one of those days where you're in a hurry to do everything, to get to the city, to get back from the city, to get somewhere else, to get back, to go to sleep, to get up the next day. You know, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So in the morning, I was in a hurry to get to the city. But first, I had to do something in Stony Brook Village. Namely at the post office, but I won't get into that. However, just as I made the turn onto the road that leads to Stony Brook Village, this guy who has a big, huge boat got onto the road before me. He was taking it down for the spring. It was all spruced up and everything, and he was, you know, happy, had a smile on his face. The only problem was he was going at about 7 miles an hour. He didn't want to wreck the thing, obviously. And he had a long line of cars behind him, of which I was one. So it took me a very long time to get there, and I'll tell you, it was frustrating because I wanted to get there fast. And what do you think happens? Halfway down to the post office, the boat gets stuck in a tree. Now, I said to myself, you know, this is unusual for a boat to be stuck in a tree, and I realized the uniqueness of the situation, but I still want to get out of here, and it was a bad scene. But anyway, going back from the city, I had this defensive driving, not offensive driving, course to attend starting at 6:30. I left the city at 3 o'clock, and unfortunately everybody else decided to leave the city at 3 o'clock, too.
Typical.
Yeah, so it's frustrating, it really is. When you're in a hurry, and there's a traffic jam all around you, and it just seems like everything happens, a light turns red when you don't want it to, mm-hmm. people walk in front of you, you just get very, very upset. And then on the expressway, and it was awful. So I was driving like a crazy person to get to this defensive driving course, and I never drove so wildly in my life. It was really amazing. And the funniest part of all, I was on the Northern State Parkway on the way down to this place, which is in Huntington,
mm-hmm.
and I got pulled over by a New York State trooper. Not for driving crazily. I was driving crazily a couple of minutes before he pulled me over, but he drove up to the side of me, took one look at me and turned his lights on. And it's funny because it's happened a few times, but I found out the reason why he did it was
the hippie type, you know.
Not so much that. Just my inspection sticker looked funny, because it's not a true inspection sticker. It's an extension inspection sticker.
Oh, a white one?
It's a white one, right.
It's a lick?
Yeah, exactly.
And you stick?
Yeah, and you can't really tell from the distance if it's expired or not, and he never really saw one of those things before in his life. And
did he tell you this?
He just kept looking at it, and he just, like, shook his head a few times. So, yeah, that held me up, you know, a few more minutes, and I arrived at the thing a little bit late, but it was okay. 3.5 more hours to sit through. So I learned quite a few things, and they gave me this big fancy book here, which I'm holding in my hand, and they gave me the book that you're holding in your hand, which is...
I'm holding it in my hand now.
New York State Driver's Manual or something.
Which you should have already read by now.
Well, I read an old copy. I don't know if there have been any changes. But the book I have is...
This drawing on the front cover looks like an aerial view that would have been drawn in 1964, and it still looks timely today.
Well, it's a highway. I mean, it's a divided highway. It shows all the cars getting onto other highways. Mm-hmm. But if you notice, there's one direction that you go in that you can't get onto the highway.
Oh, yeah. That always happens. There's two directions.
Two directions, right. It doesn't happen in real life, though.
Oh, maybe. Sure it does.
Oh.
Did you ever look at exit 66?
No, I never have.
Try it. Going one direction, there is no exit 66.
Really? Interesting. Interesting. We'll have to explore that sometime.
Going the other direction, there is no exit 65.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
Whose planning was that?
The founding fathers of Yaphank.
Of course. Well,
I'm being totally serial.
I'm sure you are. They have certain things here where you can be your own traffic judge.
Now, oh, boy.
I know a lot of people out there, this is a golden opportunity for you. But here's a little situation. Here it is. I was traveling in a long line of cars and trucks. The flow of traffic was about 50 miles per hour. The road was dry and the weather clear. Suddenly, a car darted into the stream of traffic from a side road ahead. I was about 35 feet behind the car ahead, and I barely managed to stop when he stopped, but the driver behind rammed into me. Now, item number one.
Happens all the time.
This accident could have been prevented. True or false? Mike?
True.
True. It could have been prevented by better driving by all three drivers involved, the one who tried to dart into traffic, the driver behind you, and you. Item number two. You care to look over here.
Okay.
The driver who tried to dart into the traffic from the side road was at fault, so I couldn't have prevented this accident. True or false?
False.
False. His name won't even appear in the accident report. Certainly he was partially at fault since he unwisely tried to cut into the fast-moving flow of traffic, but you must watch out for exactly that sort of thing. Two more little items here.
You have to keep turning that upside down to read the answer.
Yeah, well, that's the way they do it for some reason. The driver behind me was at fault. True or false?
True.
True. Legally, he is at fault, but that won't make your strained or broken neck feel any better. As a defensive driver, you should have been as aware of the driver behind you as you were of the situation ahead. And the final,
that's right.
The final situation, I could have prevented this accident. True or false?
True.
True. It could have been prevented in a number of ways.
I get 100.
First, you were traveling too close to the car ahead. At 50 miles an hour, assuming your car is 20 feet long, you should have been at least 100 feet behind. Right now,
that's one car length for every 10 miles of speed.
And the two-second rule. Not using the two-second rule forced you to stop suddenly. Second, you could have flashed your brake lights or possibly used an arm signal or hand signal to caution the...
I've actually seen that done.
Have you? To question the driver behind that something was happening ahead that might cause you to stop suddenly, and having seen the driver dart into traffic from the side road, your foresight should have told you that drivers ahead would have to stop. You should have known that, you dummy, is what he's trying to say.
No, I've actually seen somebody stick their arm out and down to indicate that they're slowing down.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on the Northern State Parkway at about 3 o'clock one afternoon going east. Yeah, seriously, there's a whole bunch of traffic, and it was moving at a pretty good clip, but in certain sections, there's an awful lot of curves and hills and such. You can't, there's not too much visibility. So the guy in front of me was very nice. He just, stuck his hand down, saying that they're slowing down up ahead.
Interesting. Isn't there a...
I didn't know what the hell he was talking about.
He rammed right into him, but he realized afterwards. Isn't there a specific hand signal for a car darting out in front of you? Have they made one yet?
I don't think so.
Oh, well, we can make one, I guess.
Sure.
Well, how do you tell somebody who's... turn signal is stuck on, that their turn signal is stuck on. Do you, wave your hand at them and turn yours on?
I've always wondered about that.
I've tried so many different ways.
There's a comedy routine by this guy Gallagher, which I'm sorry we can't play because it's very obscene. But the only thing that I can think of is to get in front of that person, if it's on a 2 or 3 lane highway, get in front of him and just drive in front of him with your blinker on. And maybe he'll think you're just as big a fool or bigger because he doesn't know that his is on. But
and then he'll try to signal you, and then in signaling you, he'll realize that his signal is on. And then you won't forget, though.
I was once following a school bus, one of those little mini buses.
Oh, yes.
On Jericho Turnpike that had his little red light still flashing.
That means his door was open.
And I came up beside him, and I said, "Hey, your light's on!" And he says, "Oh, thanks!" And he turned it off. So that's
That's fair. I thought you were gonna say he turned to turn it off and he didn't see the car coming right at him.
No.
And
you did a good deed today. Just being a good citizen.
Well, you have something in the New York State Motor Vehicles book, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And I remember this from when I was 16.
Well, it's a different one. They update, and for one thing, the governor on the front is different.
No, Hugh Carey was
I had Malcolm Wilson on mine.
Yeah, I guess I did have Mel.
And some guy fished for the Motor Vehicle Commission.
Yeah, well, now it's J.P. Melton. But anyway, the one you wanted me to read here, which is rather intriguing.
This is actually in the Motor Vehicles.
14-5, item G, stalling on railroad tracks.
Uh-huh.
If your car stalls on railroad tracks and you have a manual transmission, you may be able to move it off the tracks by running the starter while the car is in low or second gear, which I dispute.
Well, don't you have to push it at the same time or something?
No. I dispute that. Because I have a manual transmission, and if I ran my starter and I was in third or high gear, it would go faster. And my starter could still take it. And
well, maybe your starter is stronger than other people's.
If you have an automatic transmission, forget it. You will have to push the car off the tracks. Get the hell out of the way, it says here.
It doesn't say that.
Oh, no, it doesn't.
Read it word for word.
If you cannot get the car off the tracks and a train is approaching, abandon the vehicle.
Say, oh, my God.
abandoned ship.
And quickly walk alongside the tracks in the direction that the train's coming. And I'm not even reading this, and
be
I know...
Be sure to wave at the conductor when he goes by.
Per hour? Give you... Wait a minute.
You skipped the page, I think.
I think I did. Per hour. Give yourself plenty of room to defend yourself in emergency.
No, that's
I did,
not the right one.
I did skip a page there, didn't I? It tracks the direction of the approaching train so that you will not be struck by desbris when the train hits.
Like flying cars and things like that. I mean, it's an important thing, obviously, being hit by a train on a railroad crossing, but it just seems such a strange thing.
This is under handling driving emergencies. This one here is interesting. Blowouts.
Mm-hmm.
A blowout is a sudden collapse of a tire. This throws the vehicle out of control.
Uh-huh.
To regain control, hold tightly the steering wheel, steer straight ahead, and ease up on the accelerator. Do not brake until the vehicle is under control.
We went over that on Wednesday. We went through the whole thing. So, if you're driving and one of your front tires goes out, the wheel will turn all of a sudden.
I had a flat tire last week on the Long Island Expressway.
Well, congratulations, Mike.
Yeah, I'm catching up to you.
Hey.
I had one on the New Jersey Turnpike. That's the one I had before this.
But you didn't have two in one day like I did. At the same time, in fact.
That's true. He had two in a... It must have been a combination of weather or you ran over somebody's ambush or something. But,
I bought both tires in the same day and they wore out in the same day. It was part of the guarantee, I understand.
So anyhow, it was the evening rush coming home, and I hear this helicopter flying overhead, and it turned out not to be a helicopter, but it was my back tire. So I pulled over to the side of the road, and I started changing it, and I Suffolk County policeman came by. He says, "Do you have any problems?"
Of course I'm having problems.
No, I planned this.
Everything's under control here, officer, but thank you for your consideration. I mean, it's his job, but it was very, very heartening to see that the cop would stop for me.
Yeah, well, they do that.
They do.
They certainly do. No, Suffolk County Police do that, and New York State Troopers do that.
Yes.
And occasionally a lost New Jersey State Trooper will do it for you.
And you may even have Suffolk County Marine Bureau come up if there's a flood, if it's been raining a lot.
If your water problem, if there's water leaking from your car, who knows? So, do you know you can also lose your license in New York State for advocating the overthrow of the government? I'll find it for you. I will find it for you. It does say that.
Are you a communist? Is that one of the questions on the license?
No, it's not a question on the license, but apparently if you go up to somebody and in the motor vehicle's office and tell them that you... Okay, why don't you read it?
Okay.
So you believe me.
Mandatory suspension of license. Is this it? No, that's a...
Yeah, that is mandatory suspension. Read the...
At present, there... Which? This one here? Revocation?
Yes.
That one.
11
there.
Different things.
Okay.
Start from number one.
Convictions on the following charges result in mandatory revocations. One, driving while intoxicated in New York State.
Uh-huh.
And it says here, if a driver under 21 years of age is convicted of driving while intoxicated, his license... Wait a minute. This is being rather sexist, isn't it?
What's that?
It says his license.
Oh, yes. I never noticed that before.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Her license will be revoked for either 6 months or until she turns 21.
Can you imagine if it said that instead, how many people would, raise their eyebrows? Why does it say she and not he?
Or until she turns 21, whichever period is longer. Two, driving while under the influence of intoxicating liquor or drugs in another state. Does that mean a geographic state or...
I don't know.
Or
the state of consciousness.
Now, this has a maximum period of 60 days rather than 6 months. Three.
Two months. 60 days is 2 months.
Yeah, rather than 6 months. Three.
6 months would be 60, 120...
360 days.
360, okay.
No, it wouldn't even last. That's a year.
That's a very long 6 months.
Three violations.
Skip that for I'm
three,
no.
three. Three violations within a 3-year period of operating a motor vehicle while ability is impaired by the consumption of alcohol.
That's one per year you're allowed.
Four, driving.
Wait, excuse me, Mike, 1 second. What's the difference between it being impaired by alcohol and driving while drunk? I don't understand.
I don't know.
I mean, shouldn't you lose your license for one of those things instead of three of them?
Yes.
So it's very strange. Okay.
Well, no, there's a difference between impaired and falling down drunk.
Okay, all right.
4, driving under the influence of drugs in this state. 5, leaving a scene of an accident in this state.
What if you weren't in the accident? It doesn't say that in there, does it?
You're right.
If you leave the scene of any accident you see on the side of the road, you could have your license taken away, according to that thing.
Mm-hmm.
So next time you see like one of but, these you know, major is... accidents, rubberneck as long until the officer tells you to leave.
This is written in layman's terms, which is not legally binding. You can tell that when it says here New York State speed limit is 55 when the officer stops you for going 74. Which I did. No, I...
Well, we're talking about criminal activity.
6. And that wasn't a criminal activity. 6. 3 speeding violations or any 3 misdemeanors, including reckless driving, on any combination or any combination of these 3 committed within a period of 18 months in this state. 7. False statement in an application for a driver's license or vehicle registration.
Like nice weather we're having outside when it's raining. You're getting a lot of trouble, folks, for that one.
Substitution in a road test. Aha.
Oh, that's
oh, we can send our buddies down and
you know, I never even thought of that.
That's a good idea. You know, I wouldn't have thought of it.
That's not a good idea.
If it wasn't printed in here, I wouldn't have
thought of it either. I
best ideas for fraud in here.
I don't have to think of it now. But if I lose my license,
or knowingly using a fraudulently obtained license or registration.
I guess that means like changing your age or something, or changing your name.
Or changing your plates on your car.
Changing your name.
8. Driving or permitting the driving of an uninsured vehicle, and that carries a 1-year revocation.
Mm.
9.
Here we go.
Homicide, assault, or criminal negligence arising out of the operation of a motor vehicle.
Okay.
10. Advocating the overthrow of the government.
It's there. Is it there? I told you it was there.
It's there. 10. See it there? See it there?
Does our official spotter see it? It's there, isn't it? It is there.
You can say it's there.
She's speechless.
It's there. Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
She's speechful now. So, if you advocate the overthrow of the government, I don't know what exactly that entails. If you say, I think Reagan should get out, is that advocating the overthrow of the government? I mean, what is an overthrow of the government?
We should write to Hugh and ask him about this.
Yeah, now, and who do you have to advocate it to?
Hugh.
The motor vehicle clerk? If you tell her that you advocate...
If you have a bumper sticker on your car that says... Iran.
Oh, blank Iran.
That would be advocating the overthrow of a government.
Of a government, not the government. Well, what is the government? Maybe they don't mean our government. They mean another government that they're not telling us which one it is, so that we won't get it too easily.
They could mean polity at the State University of
America. They could mean that, too. Well, they could mean the government of Albania or something. You don't want to criticize that.
That's
especially if you're in Albania.
We're going to have to write to Hugh or James about this.
Why don't we just call them up and have them comment on it
we'll
broadcast their statements.
Okay, 11.
I intend to do that, by the way.
That's a very good point. 11. This is the last one. Violation requiring loss of probationary license where previous action has been taken against probationary license.
Well, that sounds very clear to me.
Mm-hmm. So, a few handy tips from Radio Free Weekend.
Interesting stuff there.
She almost fell off of her chair.
I know, there's some shocking information there, but it's pretty interesting. Can I read one more Be Your Own Traffic Judge?
We've got so much stuff to do.
I know.
The
tripods are coming up momentarily as soon as we take care of this one little thing.
Well, there's 2 more, 3 little things.
Oh, there's
Funky and Spunky
things.
Are coming up after this song.
Funky and Spunky are coming up, then the tripods.
Well, shortly thereafter.
Okay, shortly thereafter, the tripods. I'm sorry, folks, the tripods have been delayed. It's an episode worth waiting for, though. Howard, I think, is still lost in the Atlantic Ocean.
Something's away.
Oh, he was lost last week. That's all I know.
He could be found this week.
It's possible. Anything's possible.
That's true.
Everybody else could be lost this week. Okay, I was traveling on a superhighway that had 3 lanes going in each direction, separated by a median strip. Wouldn't that be a terrific name for a band, the Median Strip? But never mind. I was in.
Where would they play these dives where they're topless and stuff?
Be a good name for a topless bar too. The Median Strip. You have it in the middle of Long Island Expressway. Okay, I was in the center lane, moving 55 miles per hour, overtaking a semi-trailer truck traveling at 50 miles per hour. In case you don't know what a semi-trailer truck is it?
It's one of them.
It's one of those things.
He points to a drawing.
It's a
Wait a minute. Let me see that picture again.
Big truck. Take a look at the picture. We'll wait for you, my friend.
Okay. I was just making sure. It looked like it only had two, a pair of wheels in the front, and that's all.
No.
But they're obscured by that car.
Yeah, they didn't forget the other wheels. Okay, he was overtaking
Hey, there's the chimp inside the car. BJ and the bear. See the chimp inside the truck?
That's the headrest. Oh, on the truck. Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
BJ and the bear on USBFM.
Interesting. Okay, he was traveling on the superhighway, had three lanes going in each direction.
He usually has about half a dozen girls with him, too.
Anyway, I was in the center lane moving 55 miles per hour, overtaking a semi-trailer truck traveling at 50 miles per hour. The truck and I were approaching an exit ramp when, suddenly, it's always suddenly, a vehicle traveling in the wrong direction came down the ramp, cut in front of the truck, and sideswiped me.
Huh.
Get the picture?
I believe so.
Okay. The accident, number one, the accident was preventable because you should not have allowed your view of the exit ramp to be obscured. True or false?
Well, that's hogwash.
So, is that true or false?
That's false.
False. It is probably unreasonable to expect drivers to take special precautions against wrong-way drivers at exit lanes. Number two, the accident was non-preventable because there was nothing you reasonably could have done to prevent it. True or false?
The accident was not preventable. True.
True. You were operating your vehicle in a reasonable manner, so from your standpoint, this was a non-preventable accident.
That sound of rustling papers, Eric turning the book upside down.
I have to do it each time. I can't read upside down, but not for long. The accident was, number three, the accident was preventable.
If you were in New Zealand or something.
Maybe so.
Or Australia.
We'll look into that.
Down under.
The accident was preventable because you should never pass another vehicle near an exit ramp. Well, I don't understand this.
That's hogwash, too.
You answer number two, and they tell you it was non-preventable. The accident was non-preventable. Then they turn around and ask you a question that, you know, totally invalidates number two. Obviously, that's false. It often is necessary to pass other vehicles near exits, and some of these vehicles will be slowing down, preparing to enter the deceleration lane. Finally, the accident...
You answered that one yourself, and I want my money back on this course.
The accident was preventable because you should have been driving in the lane nearest the median strip instead of in the center lane.
Hogwash again.
False. Your being farther to the left may have helped the erring driver avoid hitting you, but you had a perfect right to be in the lane you were at. You were at the speed you were traveling. A little trouble reading here. The accident may be regarded as non-preventable as far as you were concerned. Nobody asked about the poor guy traveling down the exit ramp. Mm-hmm. Wondering why he was doing that. He might have had perfectly good reason. Who knows what was at the other end of that exit ramp?
Who knows?
Well, okay. A lot of... excuse me.
Congestion.
Yeah, a lot of congestion here on the Radio Free Weekend, where we've been talking about cars and safety and licenses and stuff like that.
Our telephone number here is 246-7901.
And we are in Stony Brook, New York, Radio Free Weekend. Coming up on Radio Free Weekend this Sunday, we have the 10th Annual Arts and Crafts Festival of Port Jefferson broadcast live here.
I'm going to be
USB.
There.
I'm going to be there, too. And, in fact, we're both going to be there.
Hey, do you think we can get Howard and Kathy and Pop Tripod, all of them down?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if we can get Howard.
Well, they live in East Setauket.
Howard's not in East Setauket now. He's somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean.
That's true.
If he comes back by then, certainly, but I don't think he will.
Stay tuned.
Maybe we'll find out on the tripods later on. But by all means, all you folks out there, come on down to Port Jeff Village this Sunday afternoon and meet a lot of fabulous USB people and a lot of not so fabulous. And a lot of last year, I think there were up to 10,000 people, maybe not that many, but a few thousand.
Sure.
And we covered the whole thing. It was great. So that's coming up 12 o'clock to 6 this Sunday, another part of Radio Free Weekend. It's 9 minutes after two now, and, well, why don't we hear something from,
Grupo Sportivo.
Grupo Sportivo.
She landed on my roof, met love from Venus. She ran out of gas, and I stopped in the tea, flashing girl out of space. Future love.
That's right. future love.
That's right, that's right, that's right. Big and future love tonight. That's right, that's right, that's right. Big and future love tonight. All you need is deep, deep love. All you need is deep, deep love. Love is such a deep, deep feeling. Future love. Future love. Future love.
The sound of John Denver being strangled.
You came on my pillow.
Thank you.
Bye.
o'clock in the morning. Go to bed. Alvin. Alvin!
Yahoo! I'm a country boy.
Radio Free Long Island, in coordination with the Three Village Tobacco Farms, presents the exciting adventures of the Tripod family. Join us as we follow one of America's most illustrious families as they search for happiness and security in the suburbs of Long Island. This week we find the Tripod family in the kitchen of their Long Island home, and we hear Kathy.
Would anybody like some chicken frankfurters for lunch? I have about 7 pounds of the things in the refrigerator.
I don't know if I've ever had any of those. I am invited, aren't I?
Oh, of course you are, Charlie. You're practically one of the family.
Well, thanks. How about you, Mr. Tripod? Are you going to have some of Kathy's chicken frankfurters?
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, how in blazes could a frankfurter be made out of chicken? I mean, it wouldn't be a frankfurter anymore if you did that, you know?
Well, the way I understand it...
Well, let me explain it to him, Charlie.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Oh, okay. You see, Pop, there are these two kinds of frankfurters. There's the all-beef kind first, and then...
Then there are chicken frankfurters.
Exactly.
It's pretty simple, Mr. Tripod.
No, wait a minute. I always thought hot dogs came from pigs, just like bacon. I mean, you've heard of pigs in a blanket when you roll them up with dough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, how in the name of Toledo could you go around calling something that's made out of a pig all beef?
He's got a point there, Kathy. I always thought hot dogs came from pigs, too.
Well, maybe some of them do, but the ones I was talking about were all beef.
So that means there are three kinds.
I guess so, Charlie, but it really isn't that important, is it?
Well, it is if you're eating frankfurters. I mean, don't you want to know what you're eating?
I always wanted to know why they call the stupid things hot dogs in the first place.
Yeah, that's
I mean, they don't have dogs in them, do they?
No, they don't, and they don't even look like dogs either.
Let me get that. My stars! I should have just made hamburgers.
I didn't tell Kathy this because I thought you might get upset, Mr. Tripod.
What's that, Charlie?
Well, my aunt over in Paducah, Kentucky, told me they have turkey frankfurters down there.
Turkey? You don't say.
Don't tell that to Kathy. I think she might flip her lid or something.
Uncle Jonathan!
Uh-oh, here comes trouble.
What are you doing here, Uncle Jonathan? Aren't you helping the Coast Guard search the Atlantic for Howard?
Well, that's what I came over here to talk with you folks about.
Hey, I don't like the sound of this. What's going on?
Okay, I'll tell you this as openly and honestly as I can. I don't think Howard's lost in a canoe somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean. I don't think he ever was, for that matter.
But Uncle, how can you say that? You just told us yourself that Howard was last seen getting into a canoe on Whitney Island.
That's right, I did say that, and that's what happened. But I don't think he got lost. I believe he knew exactly where he was going.
Where in tarnation could he go? I mean, there's nothing around that blasted island for hundreds of miles.
Very true, Mr. Tripod, very true. But supposing he had arranged to meet somebody out there, someone else who was supposed to come to Whitney Island that day.
But who else was supposed to come to Whitney Island that day?
Do you remember a certain French actress that was supposed to co-star with Howard in the film I was making? I keep forgetting her name.
Oh, French.
A French name. French, a French actress.
She was in Playboy magazine last
I've worked with her all the time. I should remember the name. I don't know why I can't do that.
Too.
It's, I heard it just yesterday. I keep forgetting.
Something about a tunnel or a...
Where is something? Brigitte Leroux.
Hey! Very good, Kathy. Very good.
Oh, thank you. I kind of figured,
That's it, all right.
And Howard...
Huh?
Wait a minute. Howard's out there with him? Her?
Well, she never did show up for a part that day, and I can't seem to get a hold of her.
Oh, you mean Howard's a two-timer?
Oh, my gosh. I never figured Howard to be that kind of a person.
Yes, I must admit, I didn't think he had that much in him.
Well... If this is true, what are you folks going to do? Call off the search or just wait and see?
So that's what 7 years of marriage leads to. I should have known better. That slimy two-timing...
Wait a minute, Kathy. This hasn't been proven yet.
It's only Uncle Jonathan's conjunction.
Right, and besides... conjecture, you mean. Besides all that, we have Howard's character to look at. Now, you folks have known Howard a lot longer than I have, and he wouldn't just... up and take off with some cheap French actress, now would he? Well, would he?
Uh-oh. you want to stay and have some chicken frankfurters with us, Uncle Jonathan?
Chicken frankfurters, huh? I must admit, it's been a long time since
Charlie,
I've had some...
Charlie, do you know of any good lawyers around here?
Well, that depends, Kathy. There are so many different kinds. There's property, financing, corporate,
Charlie,
criminal...
I'm looking for a divorce lawyer.
And so the Tripods begin to hear some things about Howard that they never thought they'd hear. What will come of it? Are they being too hasty? And what about Brigitte LaRue? You want to be with us next time when we'll hear Charlie say...
Those aren't chicken frankfurters.
That's next time on the Tripod Family, a presentation of Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka.
Shag's Philosophy of the World.
The title cut of that album.
You think there'll be a second album?
I don't know. But there's all sorts of...
There may be a third album without a second one.
Oh, that could be.
It's well within their grasp, you know?
That's true.
I like the way... One thing I do like about that, the way they printed Philosophy of the World is exactly the way the New York Times prints its heading every day. You notice that?
Yes.
Exactly the same way.
Mm-hmm.
That must be symbolic of something. The philosophy of the world is within the New York Times.
I can't believe all these comments. People don't like this stuff that are written on here.
Oh, our DJ sort of commented on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we let them go on that.
This is so bad, even Gene Bogart won't play it.
Ooh.
Ditto, 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 ditto. Arnie P. won't play it.
Amazing. We'll play it. Bless you. And you know something, Mike? That's the first time I ever heard anybody sneeze on the air, ever, on any station. I always wondered where I'd hear that first, and I guess I should have known it would be here.
On your very own program.
Hey, can you tell us something that's coming up on Radio Free Weekend?
Do you want me to?
Well, you got
I got an orange card here. Check out Contemporary Spiritual Music and Talk on Morningstar, hosted by Andy Lish. That comes your way Sunday morning from 3 to 7.
And don't forget tomorrow afternoon at 3:30 p.m., you can experience some of the best Latin beats around on Ando Nueva.
Ando Nueva.
Hosted by Ron Filipito Palacios.
Filipito Lesajito.
And that follows reggae with Lista Hugh and Low.
Dub organizer.
From noon to 3:30. And the most famous reggae program in the world, huh?
That's what I say.
That's what Mike says, and I think I agree. We got a lot of good things going for you this weekend on Radio
Every
Free Weekend. Every weekend.
On Radio Free Long Island.
That's right. You got some, I got an interesting story here.
Well, you know, what I want to get back to.
What's that?
Oh, the animals. We forgot about the animals.
My goodness.
Yes.
It's been well over an hour. I wonder if people still remember. Probably a whole different bunch of people.
We could go through them all over again.
No, I don't think we should do that. We did birds, we did fish.
And mammals.
And we did mammals. Now, we have reptiles and amphibians, which are one and the same, supposedly.
Well, they're under the same category.
Well, that's what I meant.
Alligator.
An alligator? I'd say an alligator should live about 50 years.
56.
56, huh?
That's only because you read this before.
Well, I don't even remember everything I read, so.
How about a bullfrog? Ribbit.
A bullfrog?
Bullfrog.
How big are bullfrogs? They're not too big. They're kind of small.
No, bullfrogs are big. Big ones. You're thinking of toads.
Wait, what's the difference between a frog and a toad besides one is in water and one's on land?
That's the difference.
Well, I mean, there's no difference in appearance, is there?
Oh,
there's a difference between a hare and a rabbit. A hare's longer and a rabbit's shorter and has a bushy tail at the end and sometimes it's white.
And they've all had
20 years. Yeah.
No, frogs are slimy, generally. You know, they feel kind of...
You put a toad in water, he's going to be slimy,
no,
too.
No, he won't. No, he won't be.
Have you ever put a toad in water?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you do strange things.
Hey, I grew up with toads.
I'm sure you
Some did. Of my best friends were toads, and most of them were snakes. Those scoundrels.
Yeah. I knew a few Gila monsters in my time.
Bullfrog lives to be about...
A couple of chameleons, too. I've got quite a few chameleons.
Really?
Yeah.
They change face all the time?
Change all the time, yeah.
Bullfrog, do you know how long it would live to be?
I knew one salamander.
You know, I had a salamander. I had a few salamanders. They live under rocks. You know, you'd pick them up
Some of them are blind salamanders. They don't have any eyes because they don't need them. They're so far down in the earth.
Subterranean salamanders.
Right. And some are black, some are green, some are orange.
The ones I had were the black ones with the red stripe running down the back.
Yeah.
Yeah, those...
very attractive.
I used to call them Sal. I had a few of my... I'd name
them. Oh, Sal Salamander.
Sal Salamander, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's a nice thought. I once had a newt. Did you ever see a newt? It's one of those things that's supposed to turn into a frog.
Oh, no, you're thinking of
tadpoles. Well, actually, they look the same, tadpoles.
I had a bunch of tadpoles, too. And they turned into toads.
That's not supposed to happen.
Yes, it is.
Well, they're supposed to turn into frogs, aren't they?
No, they also... If you have a toad tadpole, it's going to turn into a toad, not a frog.
Well, how do you distinguish a difference? There's no difference, that's why.
Well, there is a difference. But you have to wait till they grow up and mature.
Before you tell the difference between them, I see.
Yeah, there's this sand pit over in Setauket.
Yeah.
And I used to go over there, and they had this big pond. And I used to see all these tadpoles swimming around. It was the neatest thing. And then you take a couple of them home and you stick them in a fishbowl with water, and after a while they turn into little baby toads.
Well, you see, that didn't happen with me. I bought a tadpole in a 5 and 10 store, and I bought a newt too. Newts look kind of like tadpoles,
mm-hmm.
except they don't do anything. They stay newts all their lives, and it must be kind of dull, I guess. But tadpoles, when I got mine, it had little feet on it.
Uh-huh.
And it swam around for about 6 months, and then it died. And I just didn't see the purpose of it. You know, and I took good care of it, too. I wanted to see it turn into a frog, but it didn't. It liked being a tadpole. It lived its whole life that way.
That's very interesting. But a bullfrog...
Bullfrog. How long is a bullfrog?
15 and a half.
Years? Really?
Yeah. I saw a toad that I guess must have been approaching that, because this toad was like about...
Gray hair?
back about rabbits again? This toad was about maybe 4 inches in girth.
Mm-hmm.
The circumference around this toad must have been about... 8 inches.
Wow.
Well, it was a pretty huge toad. And it could jump pretty good, too.
Wait a second. Are you talking about toads or frogs now? You're talking about bullfrogs.
I just mentioned that I found a toad that must have been as big as it...
Well, it doesn't say that toads live as long as bullfrogs.
No, but I'm just...
You said it was approaching that age.
It's my conjunction.
Oh, okay. Conjecture, isn't it? Whatever. Now, we just mentioned alligators a minute ago.
Right.
And we said they're 56 years old together.
Don't tell me they have something for crocodiles.
They do.
Oh, no. What is the difference between a crocodile and an alligator? Does anybody know?
Yeah.
What?
An alligator lives to be 56 and a crocodile lives to be 13 and a half.
Oh, well, somebody had told me that a long time ago. I wouldn't be so confused now. All right, that's fine.
How about a garter snake?
A garter snake? Which kind of those?
Those are the ones that you find out in the woods. They're you like that one, right? And they have, they're black with green stripes.
Well, I never found one in the woods.
Where did you find them? In your garden?
I never found one, period. I only see snakes being sold in stores now and then.
Really? No.
I never saw one. I saw a big worm once. Does that count? Couple
well,
of caterpillars?
No. No, snakes are really... I've had a couple of garter snakes. I even had a king snake once.
Ooh.
Yeah, really, really... And that was, they were really pretty snakes. They're brown, and they look like those Indian belts, you know, that they make out of wampum.
Yeah.
But be careful when you're handling snakes, though. They might not bite, but they get very scared when you first pick them up, and they'll poop all over you, and it smells terrible.
Really? That must be a unique experience.
But you get used to it after a while.
It's something that everybody takes for advantage, how a snake moves.
Yes.
How does a snake move? I mean, you see them slithering around and you say, oh, that's the way they move. But what do they have? They have little baby feet?
They have these scales that they kind of contract, and that locomotion.
Moving the scales around?
I think so. And then they kind of like just slither around. That's the best definition that you've ever heard, right?
It's,
the only definition.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
I've always wondered about that. It's something that's been played.
Typical garter snake lives to be about 6 years old.
6 years old?
But a rattlesnake,
uh-oh,
on the other hand.
Is that in there? Because you're looking, not looking at there.
Yes, I am.
You are.
folks at home don't know that. A rattlesnake, about 18 and a half years.
18 and a half years for a rattlesnake?
Three times as old as typical. You know why it is. It's because the rattlesnakes eat all the garter snakes.
Oh. I can explain it. What is the purpose of the rattle on the rattlesnake's tail?
Oh, it's just the same reason a cat wags his tail when he gets mad, just so you know it's going to strike.
Well, no, a cat twitches his tail, but it doesn't always do it when it's mad. I had a cat that twitched his tail a lot, and it didn't really mean anything. Sometimes he was itchy, sometimes, you know, he just didn't have anything else to do.
Oh. Well,
dogs don't always wag their tail when they're happy. Sometimes they wag their tail when they're about to kill you.
Did you see the movie Popeye?
No, I didn't see the motion.
There was an interesting scene there. Popeye and Olive Oil, or I guess it was Olive Oil, was walking along, and she hears this box, and there's this rattling sound coming out of the box, and she knew for a fact that it was a rattlesnake inside, but she opened it up, it was this little baby playing with a rattle.
Oh. And she, shoot it with a gun or something? That was a rattlesnake?
No, that turned out to be, what was the kid's name?
That's how things work in real life. Why doesn't it ever work that way?
What's the kid's name? Wimpy? No, not Wimpy. Oh, Sweet Pea. Sweet Pea. I can't hear you way over there.
I said Sweet Pea.
She said Sweet Pea.
She did say that.
Wimpy's the guy who eats the hamburgers, right? Or something like that. Right.
Isn't there a hamburger chain called Wimpy's?
Yeah. No, that's Wendy's.
Oh, you can't say that on the air.
There's a Wimpy's? Wimpy's
there? There's a Wimpy's. No, that's a Blimpy's with a Wimpy's too? Wow. Wimpy's, Blimpy's, and Wendy's. How about that?
No, you should say it. Wendy's, Wimpy's, and Blimpy's.
Right. But you can't say that either. I mean,
you could say McDonald's. Grandma's.
No, we can't say that.
Oh. And finally, for our last...
Got to edit all this out of the tape now.
Right.
God forbid the people at home hear this.
Finally, for our last reptile and amphibian, a box turtle.
A box turtle. Now, did they call him a box turtle because his thing is square, or...?
Well, it's not really square, but he, like... lives in a box.
Well, they all live in boxes. I mean, turtles live in boxes. And while we're on the subject of turtles, what is the difference between a turtle and a tortoise?
Actually, box
turtles... Why do all these animals have duplicates that you can't figure out the difference?
Box turtles are actually tortoises.
Oh, no.
Yes, they are. Turtles are the ones that swim. Am I backwards?
I think somebody... He is wrong. Someone tell him he's wrong for a change.
Huge ones, the flippers.
Yeah.
And turtles are little ones.
Wait, turtles have little fingernails?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah, they hurt. If you get a little tiny one, it grabs onto you. They hurt. They scratch.
You don't mean claws?
The little finger claws, yeah.
The finger claws,
little
okay.
Finger claws. Little nails. I'm not kidding. Little fingernails for the claws.
Yeah, until they walk on the streets and kind of get filed down like dogs do.
Have you heard a dog clicking down the street?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. Long toenails.
Well, anyhow, a box turtle tortoise. How long does it... They're
a long time. I think like 125 years.
123. So I guess... Now, I don't think this... This is a... I don't think this is an average. I'm sure it's not an average. It's maximum, I guess, ever recorded. 123 years. They count the rings. Just like annual rings on a...
Yeah,
on a tree, they have rings on the shell because there's like they keep growing a little bit every year.
Humans don't do that.
I sure hope not.
Can you imagine
the wrinkles in somebody's face?
can you imagine all these senior citizens who are really huge, you know, get bigger every year?
They get wrinkled like that.
They have a picture there in the Times when it shows people growing up and they look kind of really
how come they're
bad
shorter,
at the end?
Yeah. Do they actually,
I was wondering how you got shorter.
Do they actually
where
shrink?
Do you lose it? Where do you deposit it?
Yes. Good question. Well, that's our animal lesson for today.
Darn good one, I must say, too.
Yeah. With help from the shags. So, what else is coming up?
Got an interesting thing there about a pill of some sort, is that true?
Two California college students say there may be an easier way to improve memory and alertness.
Excuse me.
Simply
just dozing off the first.
Pop a pill.
Ooh.
The two students from Duarte, California. I believe I'm pronouncing that right.
Duarte. Yeah.
Have been advertising in college newspapers promoting their new pill called Recall. John Winters is one of the students who founded Phantom Research Laboratories Incorporated, the company turning out the pills. Wiener says the pill contains vasopressin, a drug that has been found to stimulate memory along with a number of other ingredients, including vitamin B12, folic acid, choline, and lecithin. Is that how you pronounce that?
Lecithin, yes. I don't know what it is, but I've heard people say it before, and that is the right way to say it.
Winters reports that the pill was designed especially as a diet supplement for college students who, he says, in general, don't tend to eat right. Just look at you, pizza every night.
Oh, well.
Which you owe me for, by the way.
Oh, sorry.
Recall is currently available by mail order, but may soon be sold in health food stores.
So you can remember things better, huh?
Like what? Who are you?
I don't know.
Hey, we never did introduce ourselves.
We never
tonight.
Did. How about that? Are we going to?
Nah.
What the hell?
My name's Eric Corley.
No, his name's Mike Juhas. I'm Eric Corley.
Close.
And this is Radio Free Weekend on USB FM.
Right. Do you want to, play some Kraftwerk? They have a new album in by then. Or do you have something to read?
Well, I've got one story.
Okay.
One story, then we can play the album of Kraftwerk.
Okay.
Because I apologize for, running in on your show last night and screaming like that, but I was happy to get that album. I didn't even think the album was coming out. That's why. It was a surprise. I thought the band broke up, and they weren't around anymore, so what do I see? A brand new Kraftwerk album out, and I couldn't control myself.
Right.
Well, let me read the story. Excuse me. Now, there's been a setback of sorts in the crusade for employees' rights. An arbitrator has ruled that writing dirty words on the office wall is grounds for a worker's dismissal.
Uh-oh, sounds like overthrowing the government.
Yep, it is. The Wall Street Journal reports that the author of the four-letter words lost his job despite his union's argument that previous instances of graffiti had not resulted in anyone being fired.
Uh-huh.
The union had also argued in vain that profanities are common in modern society and therefore should not be taken literally. Now, I wonder, using that same reasoning, something like laws are common. Should they be taken literally, too?
That's good logic there.
Goes on to say that the culprit in this case reportedly was tracked down with the aid of two handwriting experts hired by his former employer.
All that trouble they went to.
Yeah.
I was in a bathroom once. Somebody just wrote, Mona, 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 on the wall.
It must be a good story behind that one, which we'll never know.
I don't even know. So, okay, how about that Kraftwerk?
Okay, let's play the... What's on this side?
Computer World,
mm-hmm.
Which is the title cut or something like that?
It's an album with a picture of a computer terminal on the front of it, isn't it?
Yeah, then there's...
And the four faces of the band on the display.
And Pocket Gonculator.
Pocket Calculator is the single.
Oh, Pocket Calculator is a single.
Yeah, this seems to be the long version. The single's a little shorter.
Oh, well, this is 450.
The disco version.
Yeah.
The dub version or whatever.
Disco mix, say.
All right, folks. Well, to show our, appreciation for this album coming out, we're going to...
Play it.
And...
We'll be back.
You should play it that way. play it what way?
In the A switch.
In the A switch.
Because that's, that'll get the sound out a little bit better.
It will.
Yeah.
And then you have to switch this?
No.
No?
I'm sorry.
What you do is you put that into there.
Right in.
Oh, I see what you do, I think.
Yeah.
Oh,
see, it's a much easier system when you do it that way.
Okay.
Understand?
Okay, right. Very good, very good.
See, the folks like it better like that when you play it live.
Good. Okay.
Sounds like a good album, what do you think?
Sounds good to me.
I like it.
Okay.
Turn it down for a second while the people are listening to that. What do you think we should be doing next? I'm really getting kind of bored right now.
Yeah.
Would you mind if I cut out early?
You want to leave already? Or?
Well, I'd like to. I've been up for like 48 hours straight.
Yeah.
It's simply unbelievable.
Oh, excuse me.
Now, I like doing the show and all, but I just can't, be expected to stay here all the time, for God's sake. I want to get some sleep too. Everyone else is doing
that.
Yeah,
yeah. Well,
our chief engineer sprawled out on the floor.
Left for the show.
20 minutes, okay, fine. You can handle 20 minutes, can't you, Mike?
You want to leave?
I think I'm getting that across pretty well, aren't I?
It's 20 minutes.
Exactly. It's 20 minutes. You can handle it, can't you?
You want to take over her.
Wait a second. What are you talking about? I want to go home. I want to get some sleep, all right?
I want to go home and get some sleep, too. What do you think I am, anyhow? A robot?
Why don't we just let the album play out and the folks will think we went home? That's too stupid to know the difference anyway.
Well, then we have to say goodbye.
They won't know if you don't say goodbye.
Hey, you're talking about our listener.
Well, look, I don't really care.
Should I play next? Let me cue up Bunky and Spunky.
Bunky and Spunky.
Let's see. I think we got the pig thing queued up.
Oh, is there like a special surprise soap opera thing again tonight that we shouldn't talk about?
Remember we had another one last week? Was it the guiding pig? No, it was a.
That was the Edge of Bunky and
the
Spunky.
The Edge of Bunky
right.
This one's called Ryan's Pig.
That's real clever, Mike.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how I appreciate you educating folks like this. All right, well, how long is this album? I don't want to...
This album, it'll take us, 20 minutes. Do you want to track through the whole thing? And you put a big smile on your face.
I just feel how, It's so stupid, really, to just play album size, and expect the people to think that we're doing something when we're just sitting back like this and not doing anything.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, beforehand, I was working in the other studio after the show you even started, getting stuff ready.
Do you know how disorganized that sounded? I wanted to bring that up before. Inside the other studio, I have to carry on here by myself.
Yeah.
We gotta, sit down and talk about this. We can't do things like that.
We're gonna have another meeting.
Yeah, radio.
I'm gonna get balled out, aren't I?
Damn right you are.
Too bad.
You deserve to be, too.
Oh, the phone's ringing.
All right, let me get the phone and,
Hello, radio station.
What are you yelling at?
Hi, how are you? Yes, it is.
Well, you're on...
Okay.
Yeah, all right. We'll be out of here by 3 o'clock.
Effects.
Don't worry.
I'm trying to rush it.
Oh, look, come on. We've got a show here.
I can't give you 10
minutes. We're on the air.
Well, I'll
crime period. Now, you're on at 3 o'clock.
Okay.
I'm going to go out and get coffee then.
Good. Go out and get coffee. Okay. I hope you lock the door on yourself.
Oh, it's topless places you went to.
People around here. I'm really getting sick of them all. Music really stinks.
Yeah.
I've heard anything like this before.
Okay, great.
Well, they used to be a good band, Kraftwerk.
Yeah,
you
ever
heard of
had.
Kraftwerk?
Yeah. Hey, when are you going to bring
person.
Us the fried rice?
They used to do electronic music. Now it just sounds like they've, sold out to disco or something. Electronic disco, that's the worst kind.
Really?
That was good music on there, but this is like mutated pop.
I don't know. Are you going to be doing
not the same
Arts
thing.
Festival? Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Well, I'd only been here.
I could list 100 ways I'd rather be spending
right in
Friday night
the
right
library.
Now.
Yeah.
Sitting here and doing this dull program.
Oh, yeah. Right. Well, we'll see you soon.
Nobody listens to anyway. What's the point of doing it?
Great.
One person, and he's on the phone now.
Yeah. You're gonna be an exhibitor? Great.
There are people out there listening to us? That's something to know. Well, right now they're hearing, a Kraftwerk album, which I don't think is too good.
Good.
I'm disappointed because when I saw that Kraftwerk album come into the station, I said, you know, hey, this is it. You know, this is the dawning of a new era. But now, hearing it like that, Mike, I think we should take that record off. No one's listening to it.
I'm on the phone, Eric.
Well, why don't you hang up the phone? You're also, you know, doing a show, you know. Just some commitment to people out there.
Yeah. Sure, really. Like, it's Beats living in Kansas or something like that, right?
I really don't like Mike's attitude sometimes. It's like, really. I don't understand what he's after sometimes.
Yeah, we've been plugging it.
I think he's drugged out.
Yeah, you said you were gonna get around to it.
Oh. Is that your tape deck?
Yeah.
Sorry. It's not a very good one, is it? Good ones don't break like that.
Okay, well, thanks for calling, man. We'll see if we can get that on for you. Okay.
Oh, this is the single.
A bullfrog? Yeah, I think we can get one in.
This is a good song.
All right. Okay, right. Thanks for calling, man. Bye-bye. A request for sound effect.
The sound effect?
Yeah.
What kind of sound effect?
He wants to hear bullfrog. We were just talking about them before.
We have bullfrogs in the other room.
Yeah.
Let's go in there and put on a bullfrog.
I'll be right back.
See, this is the only program we can get away with things like that, playing bullfrogs on the air. You can't do that on other programs. They're formatted, you know. It's like...
I think the first time I ever
turned into
a show, you were playing some kind of a weird African chant.
Oh, we played music from Togo, that type of thing. Right now they were playing Kraftwerk, and tell you the truth, I don't know who would be listening to Kraftwerk at a time like this. Mike, I really think we should take that record off.
Really?
Yeah, I really do.
Give it a few minutes.
Look, Mike, I mean...
Hey, listen, you were so ecstatic about it yesterday when it
came in. I was ecstatic about the fact that there was an album. After hearing the album, I'm not ecstatic about it anymore. What's so hard to understand? Boy, this guy's unbelievable. How are you going to lead into a bullfrog anyway? There it is. Are you putting that on the air over Kraftwerk?
Yeah.
God, have you no decency whatsoever? You don't do that. Even if it's a lousy album, you don't put bullfrogs over the air for music.
Sounds good to me.
Mike,
Okay, listen, we got Bunky and Spunky's.
Yeah, I know that we have Bunky and Spunky, but I just turned my head and I saw this light up there. Why does that say on air like that?
On air.
Oh, my God!
Thank you.
We're on.
Now. Ladies and gents, we're sorry about what you may have heard over the air earlier. Mike made a mistake.
What do you mean, Mike?
You made a mistake and you left the microphone on and you didn't tell me about it.
It wasn't my bloody mistake.
We were talking for 10 minutes and... Do you know how embarrassing that is, Mike?
That must have been pretty embarrassing, I suppose.
Especially for somebody of my caliber. You might be used to him.
What are you, like a 22 or a 38?
Oh, that's real clever. Real clever. Like throwing bullfrogs on the air.
Listen, we have 9 minutes left. Buddy Angelello comes in next.
He's another part of Radio Free Weekend.
Angelello.
Buddy Angelino.
Buddy will be teaching you for half an hour how to pronounce his name. You can call in and see if you win prizes and things like that.
Do you grant immortality?
I don't grant anything.
Oh. Sorry. Well, he'll be on all morning long, or at least until 7 o'clock, which time Bill McKenzie carries on the next phase of the Radio Free Weekend. Followed by Lister. No, actually followed by... followed by Pakistani music with
Tahira.
Tahira, that's a brand new program.
I spoke with Tahira on the phone the other day.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. I did.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Thank
that's
you.
Really nice.
You know, you were complaining
my
before.
Goodness. According to this watch...
Which is probably wrong.
It's 26 minutes after the hour of 37.
Let me see. Let's show our folks at home.
Check it out. That's what it says.
Oh, yes. 37:26.
Why does it say that?
It's like stuck in 16 seconds. Do you want to just, like, hang on to that?
Why don't you, like, throw it to the ground, stomp on it a few times, and that might fix it.
Well, I tell you what.
37:26. Those digital watches. The regular clocks never did that.
The analogs, yeah. Well, listen, we got a couple. Let's just do.
I lost my watch now.
Funky and Spunky are going to be mad at us if we don't run it.
Neutro Pork Industries brings you the continuing story of Ryan's Pity.
Oh, Colleen, I remember last year when you ran off with Sean O'Flannery and bore his illegitimate child while you were still married to me. And then came that auto crash which killed your son and left you temporarily blind and crippled, during which time you ran a fraudulent brokerage firm dealing in hog futures that never existed. Oh, boo-hoo. And our future! Oh, that's all very well for you to say, Colleen, but what about me? I thought you were dead. I remarried, living in bigamy, until my wife, homely but affectionate Sheila, succumbed last week to the Bayavitsetse fly. And the bishop found out about that jail term I served for being falsely accused of abducting that 13-year-old nymphet, and took my clerical robes away and threw me out of the parish. And now you're asking me to take you back?
Are you bogged down by those Monday morning blues? Does everything you read have that soggy cardboard taste? Has the dog forgotten he's housebroken? What you need is NutroPork's real pork filaments to lift you out of your doldrums and carry you away.
You'll want to tune in next time for the continuing story of Ryan's Pig, brought to you by NutroPork Industries, maker of pig tasties and real pork filaments.
Real pork, huh?
Real pork. That's just very good.
I'm happy to hear that. Something still maintains some quality here.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, Mike, I got a question for you.
We have 5 minutes to go. Let's just start cleaning this place up. Rewind our tapes.
Okay, why don't we do that? Here's a question from the motor vehicles book. This is the last question I'm going to ask you about this. Before you leave a parking space, which is parallel to the curb, okay?
Oh, parallel parking.
Yeah. Let me rephrase that. Before you leave a parking space which is parallel to the curb, you should A, look for traffic by using your inside rearview mirror. B, turn on your four-way flasher. C, look for traffic by turning your head. Or D, sound your horn.
C.
Sound your horn and take off.
C.
You know something? The answer's not in the butt. So I think you're right, but I'm not sure.
Well, you know,
it's definitely not sound your horn, and it's definitely not put on your four-way flashers. Doesn't make any difference to do that.
Yeah, no, it doesn't either.
Well, folks, it's been fun. I'm Eric Corley, and that's Mike Juhas over there talking to somebody else, which is very rude to do when you're on the air, especially.
Yeah.
It's been a radio. It's going to be a radio-free weekend all weekend long.
Yes.
Buddy's up next. He'll be taking you through the morning hours. We have all sorts of other fabulous things. Lister coming up at noon. Felix Palacios with some Latin music at 3:30 in the afternoon.
Ando Nueva.
Don't forget Jazz Alive at its new time period, 7 p.m. tomorrow night, from 7 to 9. They'll be bringing you some of the best names in jazz. It comes your way week after week, Saturdays at 9. And following that, at 9 p.m., Jazz on the Air.
No, Jazz Alive comes at 7.
Exactly.
You just said 9.
No, 7 to 9.
Yeah, oh, okay.
I think. Following that at 9 p.m., Jazz on the Air with host Steve Blyberg. You can hear old and new music, rare recordings, and background information, and that comes your way every week at 9 p.m.
Good.
It's all part of Radio Free Weekend, and we've been a part of it, an opening part.
Yes.
We're happy to have been.
We'll be back next week with the same kind of thing.
More so, I think. We are going to try to get in touch with a government official to comment on the fact that you can have your license taken away for advocating the overthrow of the government.
Right.
Various other things.
And let's see.
Maybe there'll be an article written about us in Newsday next week if 900 people call up.
Yes, please call in Annabelle Cairns at Newsday and tell her that if 900 people call in, maybe she'll put a humorous little note, you know, and that kind of thing. So,
it'll please us no end.
You'll be back Tuesday?
Yes, in fact, I will be Tuesday night at 9:05, right after the concert billboard.
And your name's?
Oh, my name?
Yeah.
Oh, my name's Eric Corley.
And
you?
I'm Mike Juhas.
You're Mike Juhas. You're going to be on twice next week, I believe.
Well, three times, including...
Well, I mean, including this time, yeah, I'll be on twice, including this.
But yes, I'll be back Monday night at midnight.
Well, actually Tuesday morning at 12:02, right after Starday.
Right.
I was thinking, you know, and also, what, Thursday?
Thursday night at 9.
9 p.m., right.
Right.
That's okay.
Yeah.
And so the folks will have their fill of you.
Yeah.
If they haven't already.
Well, I'm going to go down to the beach later on today.
Oh, you want to go to the beach now?
No, actually, I didn't.
It's not quite as crowded now as it usually
is. Well, it's 54 degrees out.
And so dark, too, I understand.
Somebody just couldn't wait to talk to us, so they hung up.
Oh, well, that's why they call it radio.
Yes. Listen, if you want to call and throw us any comments that you may have on the show, the number here is 246-7901.
And sometimes we accept abuse, too, if it's collect.
Right. Yeah, we'll accept collect calls from anywhere on the West Coast. So.
Yeah. Anywhere farther than a 50-mile radius.
Yeah, well, we'll take your...
We can say that in comfort because we know we won't get anybody outside of 50-mile radius.
Unless somebody calls up one of his friends in Alaska or somebody,
right,
someplace, and says, hey, call this these people up, collect, and they're going to have to pay for it.
Well, no, we can always lie, and no one will ever know because we're not going to be on the air in a few minutes.
That's true. Because our time is up. It's just about 3 o'clock, and you're tuned to WUSB Stony Brook.
Good night, Mike.
Good night, Eric. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning, gentlemen. Time to rock and roll, huh?
Right. Get down.